You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. The Breakfast Bob is here. Oh my God, what a ignominious start to our show this week. Joining me is a stranger on the Breakfast Bob. You did one of these, right?
No, you never did one?
Yeah. All right, so poor Alan, who you might know from Highly Suspect Reviews and Deliberations of Doom, had never done one of these before, and I asked him, because like, you know what, I'm going to get some new blood in here. Not realizing when I asked him that this was going to be the week that they put out all the network TV trailers, of which there are many, and it's not really a fun experience.
Luckily, I love CBS pilots, so these trailers were so fun to watch.
Get ready for the retirement home. But, of course, we have a lot of actual film trailers, a lot of film news, a lot of fun stuff to talk about. This week, Justin is on honeymoon in London with his beautiful new wife, and they're having a good time. And was that your British accent?
Bloody hell, yeah.
It's a jolly holiday with Mary. That's all I got. He was so cute. He was just like, I feel so bad. I usually put together the list. And are you sure? I'm sure I could find time. I'm like, motherfucker, I'm not going to have you doing shit when you're on your honeymoon. No. What are you talking about? You're so adorable. So I put together the list this week, much like the old days. So let's see if I do an okay job of it. Justin, you'll have to let me know. Let's get started with the first trailer, a highly anticipated horror flick called Midsommar from Ari Aster, who is known only for one other film.
It's quite a movie, though.
Yeah, Hereditary, yeah. Which was like, love it or hate it, there's no denying the massive impact that it made.
For sure, yeah. And did you hate it?
I really liked it.
You really liked it.
But I also had issues here and there, but overall I think it's really good.
Especially from a feature debut, yeah.
Yeah, for a feature debut, it's stunning.
Incredible, yeah.
Yeah, just the shot with the basketball head thing, that always, like, I'm still man, that shot is so perfect and so creepy. I love it. But once again, he's got some talented folks in here, and this story, very different but still horror, follows more along the line of English folk horror, which is kind of cool. I always felt, ooh, that's a Deliberations of Doom thing we should do, is folk horror, because there's a bunch of that out there.
Yeah, we just start from the
Wicker Man and go from there. Get these bees out of my fucking mouth! in this case, Jack Rayner and his girlfriend, played by Florence Pugh, they are having issues with their relationship. And according to the trailer, basically, there's a situation where, like, a family member of hers dies, I guess. And he was supposed to be going out with his friends on this trip. And
or maybe even solo. The trailer wasn't super clear, right. Which I liked about it. Yeah.
Right. You're not clear, but it was clear that originally she wasn't supposed to go on this trip. But then he felt bad for her because the mom or whoever it is in her life dying. So he's like, okay, you're coming with me and my friends on this trip. William Jackson Harper and Will Poulter. They're going on vacation in Sweden. One of the guys who they're with out there is, like, apparently a native who's one of their friends. He's like, oh, this is great. And they go out and there's this sort of, like, summer solstice type of everybody dressed in white with flower garlands in their hair. Dancing around stuff, which, you know, like, if we hadn't seen The Wicker Man, would seem completely harmless.
Yeah.
Just adorable. But now that we have, we know that some shit's going to go down. And they're like, oh, we only throw this festival once every 90 years. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. If you hear something like that, be gone.
Yeah. And this looks like kind of The Wicker Man, but with more of a psychedelic element to it.
For sure, yeah. And there's, it looks like the first trailer for this, the teaser that came out a while back, I really, really dug because it was all daytime. Like, every shot in the original teaser was all daytime. It was like, man, is he going to give us, like, a full daytime horror movie? And this one, there's, like, some darker shots in here, but it still seems like a lot of, like, the scarier imagery and everything.
Well, they even say this is the time of year when there's no nighttime.
Yeah, so, like, it's going to be, like, I love, just off the bat, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, everything about this trailer, I'm fucking pumped. Like, I'm so excited for this movie.
I really am, too. I keep saying Florence Pugh, who I saw first in Lady Macbeth, but has been lately disappearing in one thing after another. I just saw her in playing the lead role in Fighting with My Family, which is excellent.
Yes, that's a great movie.
Really fun. She's like this one of the biggest up and coming young actresses right now. So and for her, this is like, this is what you do at this point in your career. Yeah. You come on and you do a horror movie with a high profile director like this. And I'm hoping that Astor's not going to step into the sophomore slump. That's all too common where someone who launches onto the scene with something that big.
For sure.
But yeah, so far, high confidence about Midsommar. I don't know how, if I'm
Midsommar, if you like, when it, I guess, I don't know.
Somar.
Yeah, Somar.
Next up, another horror film from an unlikely director, and that's Jim Jarmusch's The Dead Don't Die. Jim Jarmusch doing a zomcom. Nobody saw that coming, but maybe we should have. I mean, he's done a samurai movie, and he's done a vampire movie. I mean, the guy obviously has no problem doing genre films.
Yeah.
In fact, obviously kind of enjoys it, but a zombie film... I was not expecting a zomcom.
Like, the tone of the trailer is jarring. It feels like... in this, more in the vein of like Zombieland, and less in the vein of Ghost Dog,
and not just
like,
because Bill Murray's playing the lead character.
No, but like it has like a very jokey element to it. It's like a lot of like, I don't want to say hacky, but it's like a lower brow zombie comedy like type of feel to it, which is surprising. The jokes kind of worked for me in the trailer. I like chuckled a couple times, and I like the cast.
Jarmusch films are always about people who are the most low key people in the whole universe encountering. Like characters from Wes Anderson films, and they have no idea what to do with about it. Like, and this feels kind of like a version of that. We're like, Bill Murray and Adam Driver are two cops in this small town where clearly zombies are a known thing. It just hasn't happened in a while.
Yeah.
It's like it's almost like Cemetery Man, where it's like, oh yeah, fucking zombies, that happens. And they're both just so utterly calm and unflappable. But like, this is such a great cast, and best of all, I like Tilda Swinton playing the coroner, who apparently is. Quite good at dealing with zombies to the point of being a flat out samurai with like a robe and giant sword.
She has like a couple good laugh lines in this trailer alone.
I can't wait to see this. I read some early reviews, some of which were very, very high on praise, and others were obviously like, I'm not sure what to make of this. And I got the general feeling it's like, you should go into this more as a Jim Jarmusch movie than you should as your typical zombie.
Yeah. Which made me curious, because the trailer is definitely selling the zombie comedy, and it's not selling the Jim Jarmusch.
Right.
So like, I was like, I wonder if like he just made kind of an accessible zombie comedy, or I wonder if the marketing for this is like, let's sell this part of the movie. We'll get people in the seats, and then we'll see how they react type of situation.
I'm really curious, man. I mean, we're seeing this next week, which I'm super excited about. The press screening is next week here in town. So, I'm very, very happy to be seeing it, especially with Chloe Sevigny, Steve Buscemi, Danny Glover, Caleb Landry Jones, Rosie Perez, Iggy Pop, Sarah Driver, The RZA, Carol Kane, Selena Gomez, Tom Waits. I mean, this is a... Yeah. Fucking insane cast.
Yeah, it's like he just looked down, like he like ran a finger down all the stars in his previous movies and stopped. And was like, let's call them.
Yeah,
call them. Let's call them. It's like, you have parts in this movie. Let's do it.
Yeah,
and I like because clearly, like all of these actors are taking some sort of pay cuts to be in this type of budget movie. So it's clearly like they love working with Jim Jarmusch. He's like, yeah, this will be fun. Let's do it.
He's supposed to be terrific. Everything I've ever heard is that Jim Jarmusch is nothing but like a joy to work with, which is obviously anybody can keep getting the same people over and over and over again. Yeah. Obviously, they're not entirely in.
For sure. And plus, with people like Bill Murray, he's known to be kind of a curmudgeon. Not like a total asshole, but kind of a curmudgeon.
But he loves working with Jarmusch.
Adam Driver, who's like, I think, pretty particular. Like, you know, there's like, they're not like, none of these actors aren't kind of like prima donnas in their own way, but the fact that they're all like, yeah, let's do it. Jim
Jarmusch's last film starred Adam Driver.
Yeah.
In the lead role. Patterson, I think it was called.
Yeah, it was good. It was like small, but it was like a good movie.
I really liked it a lot too, but I think Adam Driver actually is on this sort of like quest to work with every great surviving director.
He's
alive.
Doing a good job of
he's
it.
He's just going through the numbers like, I don't care what movie it is, I'm going to work with that guy before they're gone.
Well, now he's like, I got my Star Wars checks. I'm good probably for the rest of my life, so let's just get weird with it.
Very true. This is one I can't wait to talk about. Much more reluctant to talk about and hoping I don't have to see, but knowing patience, I probably will, is Clownado.
Oh, God, yeah. I forgot that this was on here.
Oh, man, that's because your brain was protecting you. This is one of those total garbage, like, I don't even know if it's the Asylum or not, to be honest, but I think it is. Somebody like them, at the very least, where it's, okay, so it's a tornado, but when it touches down, it releases killer clowns. And It sounds like it's up my alley. Like, if you had done this right, I could see this possibly being entertaining.
Maybe,
I mean, I love Killer Clowns from Outer Space in my way.
Yeah.
But this just looks so cheap and bad in every level. And there's, like, they don't even have the benefit of, like, having a big, like, star. Like a lot of those Asylum ones will have, like, one recognizable person in them leading, like, Tara Reid or...
Yeah, someone's in it.
Somebody like that.
And this is the thing, like, I am not a Sharknado guy. Like, I hate those, like... on purposely bad movies. Like, they just never go... I never dig them.
Right.
And this is that more so, it feels like. Like, I don't...
People are talking about it simply because of the title, and that's why these guys make these movies
in the first place.
They make the movies either that the title resembles very closely a very popular movie in the theaters right then, or they make titles that are just so fucking absurd, you're like, oh, I gotta see
What the hell is this thing? Yeah. If your streaming is there, it's like, oh, let's put on Clownado for a second.
Well, don't.
I mean, just off the bat, like, the trailer has the clowns, and they, like, they're dressed to be, like, scary clowns, which is the first mistake. Everyone knows scary clowns aren't scary. Normal-looking clowns are the scary clowns. Like, it's like...
I don't know.
I think, like, you get, like, this one of the scariest clowns ever is, like, the original It miniseries, and it's just because he just looks like a normal-ass clown.
Actually, you know, my new award for scariest clowns ever are from the Hell House LLC films. Have you seen those?
I have not.
Dude. It's like, and I know there, we haven't done reality, whatchamacallit, Cinema Verite horror yet.
We'll listen back to this to keep the record.
Of course we will. But, so it's one of those, like, you know, found footage things, and these people are trying to build a hell house inside of an old hotel that's super haunted, and part of the theme is, like, evil clowns, and the dummies start doing stuff like moving and looking at them and stuff, and oh man.
Yeah, that sounds
scary. Like, it chills down my spine. It's actually one of the few movies like that I've seen recently that I was like, this is actually pretty good.
Nice.
But this movie, Clownado, will not be, almost certainly, even though it's got my girl Linnea Quigley in it, Scream Queen.
I don't know her.
Linnea Quigley, she was in Return of the Living Dead, the one who did the dance, the naked dance on the gravestone. Yeah. But she's been in a ton. I mean, she is. When you think Scream Queens, like, there's Barbara Crampton, and then there's everybody else, but Linnea Quigley's in that top three underneath Barbara Crampton.
When you said the dance on the tombstone, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Trash was iconic, her character's name on there. All right, so let's move on to She's Just a Shadow. This looks insane.
Oh, yeah.
I got to admit, I'm super interested in whatever this movie is. It's a Asian-American cross-set thriller horror thingy. Look, I'll just read the description, and then you guys can tell me if you... you'll want to watch the trailer, if nothing else. A beautiful Japanese madam, a deranged, drug-addled Tokyo gangster and his crew, a sadistic serial killer on the loose. The intersection of these stories and the interior worlds of these characters plays out against a dreamlike backdrop of ultra-violence and orgiastic sex, as everyone tries futilely... to rewrite their futures and cheat death. A dreamlike yet modern take on the gangster genre, She's Just a Shadow is the action-packed story of a matriarchal crime family engaged in a vicious gang war while a deranged killer is leaving his victims on railroad tracks all over Tokyo. The only thing more dangerous than the killer is the vicious love triangle within the family itself. I mean, you never would have put any of that together watching this trailer.
No, like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but the trailer... looks good. Like, all the... it was one of the trailers we watched, like, of the visuals, like, this and maybe Midsummer, like, stand out right away. It's like, if nothing else, there's gonna be some pretty shit in this movie.
Oh, it's gorgeous looking, man, and, like, drenched in blood.
Yeah.
Just like, wow, that's a lot of blood.
The one thing I was curious about, like, to go with, like, marketing of trailers versus movie, like, the voiceover was not working in the trailer for me. Like, all the visuals and the dialogue scene seems, like, competent, and the voiceover is weird. I don't know if that's voiceover's gonna be better in the movie. Maybe there's not even voiceover in the movie, but it's kind of to sell the trailer. Like, who knows? But, like, either way, I'm very interested in this movie. Yeah.
It's real pretty. It has a sort of, like, what's his name? Drive and Neon Demon. Nicholas Winding Refn look to it.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
maybe, a little bit more like Nicholas Winding Refn mixed with like Sion Sono.
Yeah, something a little more it's all like the sleekness and like the how do you describe the
sterility almost?
Yeah, of his stuff, but a little more like pace and poppiness to it, like something that's like popping out from like these movies can be interesting to look at, but it's also a slog in some points.
Can be, depending on the film.
Yeah.
Next up is Angel Has Fallen. Patience, of course, is so excited to see this movie.
I am too.
Are you really?
I love it. I love this action trash.
Okay, so this is the sequel, the second sequel to Olympus Has Fallen, following London Has Fallen. And I'll admit, I saw Olympus Has Fallen and thought, this is garbage, but it's garbage I can get behind. I'm like, I kind of enjoy this. This is like fun. Big, dumb, very late 80s, early 90s style of like Hollywood action movie entertainment. It's Gerard Butler, who, poor guy, can't get a break anyway. Like, I mean, he's like, everyone thought he was going to be the biggest star in the world after 300, and he just is got the worst agent alive.
What are you talking about? He has this great Has Fallen franchise
going. Well, I don't know about great. I thought London Has Fallen was unforgivably terrible.
It was not as good as Olympus Has Fallen. Yeah, and this one looks a little better than London Has Fallen.
I will agree with you. It actually does. It actually feels like it's pulling back a little bit on some levels. Mm-hmm. And it's always going back to the old story. Like, okay, so now instead of being the guy who's like just defending the president, he's a guy who was the Secret Service agent who's the best, the most successful Secret Service agent of all time. Clearly, he's like the guy whose portrait is up in the Secret Service agent headquarters. They're gonna have a bust of him. He saved the president like single-handedly twice, and now the president, Morgan Freeman, takes him out on a fishing trip. And they send out, which seems like actually a pretty solid like terrorist plan, like hundreds of fucking machine guns exploding drones.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, shit. But then somehow, even though apparently the president survives, they're like, you tried to kill the president. Yeah. And he has to go on the run, which I laughed out loud. But it's like, oh, and he has to, the only way he's going to survive is to cook up with someone he never thought he'd ever want to see again. His own father.
Oh, and the father reveal is what maybe... Very pumped to see this movie.
Dude, with Nick Nolte out in the woods, all cranky. What are you doing here?
I'm into it. I do like how Aaron Eckhart was like, I'm out, guys. I don't want to do these movies anymore. And Morgan Freeman's just like, I'll do pretty much anything. Like, cut the check. Like, butt my character up. I'm no longer... But I don't remember what he was in the last movie.
I don't even remember that.
Secretary of something.
Was he?
He's the president now. That's all that matters.
Just make it Kiefer Sutherland. Just make it tie into that television series that apparently everyone is watching.
That'd be great. Kiefer shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? Tim Blake Nelson plays the vice president, which I'm telling you right now, he's the one behind the whole thing.
Oh,
that. Almost certainly. Danny Houston, who appears to be kind of the main guy who is set on proving that Gerard Butler is... I mean, just from the look on his face in this thing, you're like, he's got to be the main guy who's out to get him, you know?
I do. I love this, the premise of this thing. It's like, we've seen these two movies, like, everyone knows that he's gone through such hell to protect the President of the United States, and then one thing, they're just like, oh, well, clearly you want to kill the President of the United States. Like, what the hell are you... But I love it. I love that stupid
so
it is.
Fucking absurd, yeah, dude.
I can't wait for it. I'm pumped for it.
Okay. I'm happy for you.
I'm signing up right now. I'm reviewing that. Holly Suspect Reviews. I got my first seat right now. Ready.
I'm sure that you won't have to fight very hard. Batman Hush is the next DC animated film on the way. This, of course, is adapted from the really beautifully drawn but terribly written Jeff Loeb graphic novel.
This is one of the few that I have. Like, I dipped out of comics a long time ago, and every once in a while I'd dip back in and buy some, and I bought this and read it. And I don't remember the reveal of the end, really.
All right, so it's deeply divisive among comics fans. A lot of people feel like this is one of the best DC Batman comics, and a lot of people feel it's like one of the worst. I fall into the latter. I think it's like one of those really embarrassingly lame, like, retcons of the story in order to make sense of who the villain even is.
That's kind of starting to make me remember what the twist is, yeah.
I just was like, okay, that doesn't make any sense that this is the first we've heard of this. But I suppose that sort of thing happens in comics a lot, but I also, this is one of those, like, it's supervillain porn, let's just launch as many villains, find an excuse to launch as many villains into the story as we can, but whatever, people seem to like it, so here is the inevitable animated version of it. You know it was going to. I'm sure The Long Halloween is coming up next. Jason Omar returns as Batman. Jennifer Morrison returns as Catwoman. Jerry O'Connell returns as Superman. Rebecca Romijn is Lois Lane. Rainn Wilson, who I actually thought did a really good job as Lex Luthor previously. I never would have guessed Wilson as Lex Luthor in a billion years, but
I could hear it now. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, actually thought he was quite good. But I don't know. I've found that sometimes the DC animated movie stuff that adapts stuff I didn't like in the comics, I like better than the comic version. Like Flashpoint, the animated movie is great.
Oh man,
the comics suck.
It's funny, like I don't watch a lot of, like, but I do. I don't watch a lot of the animated comic stuff, the DC stuff, I'll randomly see DC streaming, and they are pretty good. Like, I'll watch those. They're better than the DC movies.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the animated series stuff, like, yeah, much better. And, like, it's interesting. Yeah, this one, the animation didn't look great to me.
It was one of those midland ones. It seemed like they're toying with going back to the old animated series style more and more.
See,
and
I would either, like, commit to that or, like, move forward, because I love that old Batman animated series look. That is, like, classic shit.
But even, you know, part of the reason we like it so much is because, A, it was groundbreaking, but also they could do it for super cheap. Mm-hmm. It was very simplistic. But I'm like, that was a TV look. I want a movie look.
Yeah, I guess if you're making animated movies, yeah, you gotta bump it up a little.
I mean, whatever. I don't know. As long as they don't have him have sex with Batwoman again, I'm fine. then we have Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. Still kind of baffled that they were going to do a sequel to this at all, because I thought the original movie, I guess the original movie was a hit financially, but the critics hated it, although I was the one critic who actually kind of liked
it. It kind of kicked off the Disney remaking their live action stuff.
And also their big thing of, like, bringing the villains into the forefront. Mm-hmm. Like, you go to Disney parks now, and they are selling the shit out of, like, villain merch.
Yeah, and it's weird. This is one of the only, like, actually, it's the only one where they've done, like, the live-action remake where it's kind of a flip. Mm-hmm. Like, they're doing, like, the quote-unquote Wicked, like, the play. Like, it's, like,
it's more or less inspired. All these are inspired by that. Like, ooh, what if we, like, got the viewpoint of this villain, evil person and saw what made them evil?
Which, it is a more interesting adaptation than the other ones that they've done, which are just straight adaptations. It's like, let's take Sleeping Beauty and, like, twist it a little.
Right.
Having said that, I don't know who this is for. Like, yeah. I don't know anyone who's like, oh man, I love Maleficent. I can't wait for the sequel.
I mean, I'm sure they're out there. I mean, the movie made a lot of money, but as much as I watched the original, I was like, oh, that was interesting. Yeah. I actually didn't hate that, which is damning with faint praise, I realize. I didn't really want to see a sequel, and it almost makes no sense to have a sequel, because the way it ends is like, oh, this is what turned her dark.
Yeah.
So where do you go from there? And the trailer sells it as like, this is the story before the story we know of her being dark, but the Wikipedia thing says, no, that's not it. Even though it's like, okay, so yeah, she did in fact put a curse on the baby at the end of the last one, Princess Aurora, except now Aurora's grown up into Ellie Fanning, and the two of them team up to stop bad guys that are trying to hurt magical creatures who live in the forest.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea why this thing's being made.
I mean,
who knows? It might come out. It might be good. They're definitely not. There's not like a part two attached, really. It's just like movie stuff. They're not really trying to sell it. It's like the sequel you've all been waiting for. It's like, you know, these Disney live actions, here's another one again, kind of thing.
There are those people who like will just, if it's Disney based in their classic worlds, they will eat it up no matter what it is. I mean, I went to a wedding once that was Disney themed because they both, the bride and groom, were obsessed with everything Disney, and like all the songs playing, including the wedding march, were Disney songs, and I wanted to fucking violently throw up.
I enjoy Disney quite a bit, but not that much. Like a lot.
Yeah, that's a little excessive. then we have, talk about excessive sequels, Escape Plan 3, The Extractors. Now, I've actually heard that Sylvester Stallone will, in fact, do more in this movie than he did in the second one.
I haven't seen any of the Escape Plan movies.
The first one was one of those where I saw the theater. I was like, okay, this is not good. But then I rewatched it when it came out years later, and I was like, on a home release, I was like, this is kind of fun.
It seems like a classic, like, I could waste 2.5 hours watching this on TNT with commercial breaks type movie. Like, it seems like that. Like, why in that Real House? And if I had cable, I would watch it.
Stallone plays, like, the guy who builds, like, the best prisons in the world, and by aspect of being the guy, well, he didn't build them, I'm sorry, he's the guy that people who have the biggest prisons in the world pay to try and break out of his prisons just so they can expose security flaws, and over and over again it turns out somebody's evil when he gets trapped in the prison and everybody wants to kill him, so you'd think after a while you'd start to figure this shit out.
I'm quitting this job. this job isn't going well anymore.
But they've added to the cast, like 50 Cent was in the original, which is honestly, I'll say, one of the only movies I've ever been able to tolerate 50 Cent in, because he's playing a nerdy character, which was kind of weird. But now they've introduced Dave Bautista to part of the crew here, which is, and Jamie King. I don't know, dude. It's like, nah, it's a, like, he's hired to rescue the kidnapped daughter of a Hong Kong tech mogul from a Latvian prison. So now he has to break into a prison, I guess. Mm. But then also one of his buddies' girlfriends is also captured. And then it turns out the guy who did it is like a former friend turned enemy, which I assume is the guy from the first movie. I don't even remember well enough because there's a whole thing like, oh, one of your friends betrayed you. Mm. I don't know. I will end up watching this movie. I hate to say I will. I think I asked for it on Blu-ray already. I was like, fuck it, I'll watch it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're pot committed, you saw the first two, you got to see how it wraps
up. Yeah, I got to see it. Well, this ain't going to wrap it up. But. Yeah,
I'm surprised Batista did this movie. He seems like he's interested in doing less than, or more than, just the action, normal action stuff that he's going to be cast a lot in, but I guess Stallone's probably like, I get to work with Stallone, I'm going to do it.
A lot of this stuff, too, a lot of times like this, it's like Bautista is already in a place, and they're like, set up a filming around when they know an actor is going to be there because it's so much cheaper to get them. They'll be like, okay, we only need you for 2 weeks and we'll just get your stuff in between. But I don't know.
Yeah,
but the guy who directed this did 2 Days in the Valley, which is a pretty solid Tarantino knockoff.
Yeah.
Don King Only in America, which was really good. The Death and Life of Bobby Z. Like, he's not terrible.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
oh, he did Cobra. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He was an actor in Cobra.
Oh, okay.
My mistake. Very, very different,
that
suppose.
Is different, yeah. If he directed Cobra, I'd be like, sign me up right now. I'm ready to watch this movie.
There's a Netflix movie called Beats with Anthony Anderson as a guy who used to be part of, like, the music production hip-hop scene, but something, question mark, ended up disgracing him, and he left it. And now he works as a security guard at the school, but he discovers this kid who's got, like, severe agoraphobia, even to the point where he's probably a little autistic.
And PTSDs.
Yeah.
Things going, this is like, yeah.
He discovers this kid's got, like, fucking mad skills in a production room. And so he's like, we're going to take this kid and we're going to teach him how to be a superstar. And everyone's like, what are you doing? And then people are occasionally shooting each other. And then people are going, what are you doing? Didn't you know he was weak and he couldn't? Yeah, I don't know. I like Anthony Anderson. I did.
Yeah, I thought. This movie could go, it could be really, really good. It's on a Netflix thing, so it's like, it comes down.
It's got Dreezy in it. So.
I mean, I actually really like Dreezy. She's good. Chicago rapper.
I don't even know who it was. I just saw Dreezy.
I like that you said that, and I like that I happen to know. Yeah, she's a female rapper from Chicago. She's really good. This takes place in Chicago. And the thing is, it could be like, the trailer kind of sold two different movies. Like, oh, he's going to be a film, a hip-hop producer, and but it's also like, should you be exploiting this kid? Like, it has a little more depth to, like, maybe some of the characters that could be there. And if it's explored correctly, I think this movie could be really awesome. I could also see seeing it being, like, a after-school special-y type of...
I mean...
We'll see.
Obviously, not everything from Netflix is great, but, like... They also have a certain level of quality they seem to fall above more often than not.
And they do give money to people who like want to tell... Sometimes they give people who want to tell a story and they're like commit and like people are passionate about these movies they want to make.
Right.
And sometimes things are just made for like, oh, you know, we can make some money off of this thing. This seems like a passion project of someone.
And the kid's mom is a Crazy Eyes from Orange and the Blue, and Orange is the New Black.
Oh, I did not even recognize her at all.
Yeah. Well, she looks so specific. She's got the like
Crazy and shit. And Orange and the New Black, she's playing a very specific type of
character. That's an extreme character.
Yeah.
And then we have Always Be My Maybe, another Netflix film that I admit I mainly wanted to see just because Keanu Reeves appears in it.
I saw that, yeah.
I'm a big Keanu Reeves fanboy over here. I watched Replicas, damn it. That's how big a fanboy I am.
Big time, yeah.
But he is not the star here. This is Ali Wong, who's very big right now, and Randall Park, who bafflingly also is. He kind of snuck up from behind and appears in everything.
I'm so excited that he's in a lead role too, because he's so funny and everything. And Ali Wong's really good. And this is something I fuck with, like romantic comedy here and there. This is a classic romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Like you almost didn't even say the plot. Just know that she's successful, they have a past, he meets up again. Romantic comedy shit ensues.
She's engaged to like super hot rich guy played by Daniel Day-Kim who basically is acting like enough of an asshole. She's like, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
But then she's like, what am I do? And he's like, hey, I'm right here. And then the trailer is like, oh, she's got a new boyfriend and it's Keanu Reeves, who I really hope is playing Keanu Reeves.
Man, it'd be amazing if he actually is playing Keanu Reeves. But like this romantic comedy thing, it made me laugh like 2 or 3 times. There's some clever stuff in there. It also has like all the stuff you expect from these type of movies. But when they're done well, they're breezy, fun movies. Like, I'm not a romantic comedy hater guy. Like,
no.
There's just so many of them are so bad and lazy.
Like, hint, if Catherine Hagel was in it, don't watch it.
Not good, yeah.
Probably not good.
Yeah.
Unless Judd Apatow made it.
For sure. And Netflix is really tapping into this thing, because like Hollywood studios aren't really making these movies anymore, and Netflix is like, people want romantic comedies.
Man, they just made the fucking like huge amount. Like one of the most watched things this year was a teenage romantic comedy.
Oh yeah, it was All My Ex-Boyfriends.
I don't remember what it was called. I didn't watch it, but
like, I remember hearing about it.
I don't mind a romantic comedy, but if it's strictly pointed at teenagers, I tend to go like, okay, I'm going to back away. Not unless it's like John Hughes inspired. You know? Yeah. Like, yeah. Where's Can't Hardly Wait 2? I'm still waiting. but yeah, I mean, they're both very talented people. This looks like it was funny enough of a trailer that I feel like it's worth probably giving a shot to.
Especially when it's on Netflix. It's like you have to go to the theater for it. It's like, when it premieres, give it a click.
I'm less interested in the very treacly looking astronaut, poor Richard Dreyfuss. Mm-hmm. I mean, his career is winding up. It's very hard for actors in their 70s to get roles unless they're ridiculously iconic. Mm-hmm. Dreyfuss, like, falls just barely short of ridiculously iconic, but enough so that he's forced to be in Drek like this, where it's like, oh, there's a contest to see who gets to, this film's version of Elon Musk, to see who gets to write all this, public space flight to space.
Yeah. It's not very clear, but they're going to space, they're coming back or something.
Yeah. And Dreyfuss is like, oh, my life is over, but the one thing I always wish I got to do, I always wanted to be an astronaut, and then he gets to do the chance, and that's really it. Yeah. That's the plot, and people on the ground going, yay!
Yeah, the trailer shows you full on, like, he does it, he gets on the plane thing, he goes up there, everyone's happy.
That's not a plot.
I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe there's maybe they go up there and there's an asteroid and he has to like blow it up.
What if this is secretly a Cloverfield film?
Yeah, it's like if they try to milk any drama of whether they're going to let him or not go to space.
Yeah.
Fuck you, movie. It's like, I'm you serious. Show it all in the
we
trailer.
We already know he goes to space. There's no drama left here at all.
So maybe there's something else, but I doubt it.
Maybe there's a giant shark.
Yeah. The Clownado comes
He's
to
like,
space.
Hold on, guys. I got this one. Then there's a trailer for Liam Gallagher, As It Was. Now, if you don't know who Liam Gallagher is, well, you're probably like me. You have no idea about what happened in music past, like, 1990. and I think even he was before that. He was in the band Oasis.
No, it's
the
90s.
Okay.
Wonderwall.
Everybody loved that shit. I look at it and go, it's not that this is bad. It's just something about it grates on my fucking nerves, and I'm tired of fucking hearing it.
Well, yeah.
Especially Wonderwall. Holy shit. That song, I wanted to explode every
time.
That
one was everywhere. And the thing is, this is like a documentary about his like rise, fall, and his comeback.
Yeah.
I do know, if you know anything about them, it's notorious. Him and his brother hate each other's guts.
Oh, yeah.
It's the reason why they broke up. They still hate.
They're also both assholes.
Oh, yeah. And I looked it up, and his brother's threatening to sue over this movie if any Oasis footage is in there. But I do love that the movie, this movie is just like, he's a huge asshole. He's always an asshole. And he's going to succeed because he's an asshole, and he's still an asshole, and we love him. And I was like, I can't believe this is
So his brother broke up the band, which really pissed him off, and then his brother did a solo project that actually did really well. Mm-hmm. Liam did a solo project that did really terribly. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of like, oh, fuck, a lot of depression, heavy drinking, drug use, all that. But then years later, he got back together, put out a solo album, and this movie is kind of the leading up to like, this happening, which as we know now, which I only know because I look up on Wikipedia, was a monster hit, apparently. Yeah. Not that I was aware of it, but it was a huge success.
I don't think it was huge in America. I think it was huge
across
the pond.
It did very well, much better than they expected it to. So if you care about Oasis and the Gallagher brothers, well, here
you know, actually, I might watch it just because I love the movie stance of like, fuck my brother, I'm the shit. Like, it's just such a weird thing. I can't wait to watch it. It's not objective
rock,
at all.
Rock assholes are iconic in and of themselves. You kind of, like, begrudgingly enjoy them for being an asshole. Mm-hmm. But I love nothing better than a redemption story, which is why I'm much more excited about this next rock documentary, David Crosby, Remember My Name. Crosby, who's in Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and Young, and The Birds, is one of the most iconic folk musicians has ever lived.
Yeah.
I was a huge fan of Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young and The Birds. Was all too aware of the fact that Crosby not only was a huge heroin addict, he's fucked over almost everyone he's ever known in his life. He's famous for being just a huge jackass, very talented jackass, but jackass nonetheless. This documentary, which some critics who saw it, and critics are raving about it, having seen it, this is the movie equivalent of David Bowie's last album.
Okay, cool.
Where it's like, this guy knows he's going to die very soon. Like, he's so ill. Mm-hmm. He knows it, and this is his requiem of his chance to say everything he wants to say before he dies.
Yeah. And I got that vibe. It seems like and I don't want to say suicide note, but like, right. really, but you know, it seems just like I'm tying up the loose ends. I want to like come to terms with my life and what it's been, and it's like kind of badass that you're in a position where you have a documentary made to leave this as a thing. Yeah,
and like him saying, "Man, this moment actually made me well up a little." He's like, every artist I've ever recorded music with will not speak to me. Every single one.
Yeah,
and I was like, damn, dude, you fucked up. I want to hear the details. Sounds good.
That's brutal.
So, yeah, I'm actually kind of looking forward to this one. And it looks good. Produced by Cameron Crowe, who is a guy who's good at doing this sort of music stuff. So then we have His Dark Matter. We're moving into television. Okay, everybody, batten down your hatches.
Yeah.
We're not immediately getting into the stuff that, like, oh, boy. Because first we got a couple interesting things to talk about.
Yeah, this is cable and HBO stuff. And, yeah.
But believe me, you'll know when we get there. But we're going to start off with HBO's adaptation of His Dark Materials. I'm actually very psyched for this because the movie adaptation of this Philip Pullman series just fucking cut this thing's balls off completely. And it was pretty as shit looking, but it was so rushed and it didn't really get to, it didn't have any of the soul or lack of belief in a soul, as you might say.
I'm curious about it because I remember it was Golden Compass, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when it came out, like, I have not read these books. I'm not familiar with them.
They're really good.
Yeah. Like,
but they're like the Atheist Chronicle of Narnia.
Yeah. That's what I heard. I was like, I'm going to check out this fucking movie. And I thought the Golden Compass was like fine.
Yeah.
But like, It obviously didn't spark the franchise that they were hoping for.
It wasn't iconic.
Yeah.
And it should have been. It had this great cast, but Daniel so does Craig, this, really. I mean, there's a lot of really good people in this thing, but the story of, like, parallel universes and, like, I mean, there's just so much shit going on here. It would do a disservice for me to try and sum it up simply, because even, like, retrospect, I'm like, wait, what? I've read this series, and I don't even remember some of this shit, because it's really dense. But the hope is they're going to give the time for this HBO series to tell its story properly. And it's already been renewed for a second season of 8 episodes, which is pretty cool. It's a BBC HBO cross-production with, like, Daphne Keane, Ruth Wilson, James McAvoy, Clark Peters, Lin-Manuel Miranda. That's a pretty solid cast right there. I'm super interested to see how this plays out.
Yeah, me too. I'm pumped for it. It was one of, like, once we got into the TV stuff and I was looking at the trailers – and I remember this being announced, but I was like, oh, here we go with the TV and the camera. I was like, oh, shit. You know, this looks interesting. It looks good. It looks very beautiful, as, like, things that shot for HBO usually do. So, yeah, it could be very cool. Yeah, plus, you'll get some, like, wild animal fights and shit, sure.
I mean, it's going to be super... Like I said, the series is, like, very anti-organized religion. I mean, it's more or less pointing at the Catholic Church, but it's irrelevant that it's the Catholic Church specifically. It's just big organized religion. It's very atheistic, but in a same way that C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia is very Christian. Mm-hmm. It's not overtly, but it's all very clear to see in the subtext what it's getting at.
Yeah.
And as someone who falls under that sort of, like, you're a huge Christian thing.
You love Jesus.
Yeah, that's it. Well, only because I want to perform exorcisms. Will you grab me a beer while you're messing with the cats or whatever you're doing there? Get out of here, cat. What are you doing? You're in the way. Next up is Years and Years. This also looks really interesting. This is another BBC drama that HBO is picking up, created and written by Russell T. Davies, who's the guy who brought Doctor Who back. He did the first, like 7 seasons or something of the new Doctor Who, starting with Christopher Eccleston and then going on to Tenet. So kind of a big star over there, big TV star. And Emma Thompson plays Vivian Rook, who is a celebrity who decides she's going to run into politics with doing this sort of, like, I'm just going to say what everybody's really thinking, but they're too afraid to say, and wins, and all sorts of shit goes down. Mm-hmm. And this follows literally, like, it speeds through decades of, like, apparently her staying in office and, like, shit going insane.
Now, maybe it's just me, but this feels... like, it might be based in some sort of reality that is happening.
It could be.
Do you get that implication?
But they're also playing her where she's somebody who's, like, she's not strictly a conservative, like, the way that, like, Trump is.
Mm-hmm.
She's, like, kind of trying to appeal to both sides to some degree.
I'm curious what the show will be like. Because the trailer kind of sells that, but I wonder how much of it is a show and, like, the charm of it. Like... the trailer looks really good. And I think he's going to show that slow descent of how we get from, like, oh, that will never happen. That, you know, something like that will never actually happen. Abortion's only illegal in 4 states now. Like, you know, it's not going to get to, oh, no, it's fine. They're putting people in, like, they're like resorts, not camps. Like, that slow where we get there. And I think the show's going to take time to show how quickly things can get that bad.
Oh, yeah.
Which looks really, it looks... It haunting, and it's done charmingly. It's haunting, like fun.
But also fun.
It's like fun. So, like, that's interesting balance. I'm excited for that
It's
show.
Got a great cast of English actors. Like, if you watch a lot of British television, you'll be like, oh my god, I know everyone in this thing. Like, Rory Kinnear, who was in Black Mirror, Penny Dreadful, a lot of different stuff. He plays one of the roles in here, as does Russell Tovey, who played the werewolf George Sands in BBC's version of Being Human. Jessica Hines, who probably you guys best know as the female lead character from Spaced, the Edgar Wright television series. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, I love Spaced.
It's fucking so good, dude.
It's like, one of my all-time.
Yeah, always so shocked good. When people have not seen it. I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, when it was huge, it didn't really make its way over here. It's kind of like you had to go find it on DVD after you got obsessed with Shaun of the Dead.
Right, yeah. Exactly. It was what I remember. I think the Alamo at one point had gotten a hold of the DVD and selling a bunch of them right when Shaun of the Dead took off. Yeah. And we're all like, mine!
Because there weren't it wasn't even released in America for a while. So you had to get an import and stuff. Yeah, it's a great show.
All right, so this next one is weird. It's another HBO show called Los Espookies.
Oh, yeah.
I'm super psyched about this, man.
It looks good.
It's a weird, weird thing from Fred Armisen, who wrote this series. It was then called Mexico City, Only Good Things Happen. And it looks like the idea is that these are a group of people that in Mexico City who love horror movies and decide to turn it into a thing to, like, fake horror things happening.
Oh, I didn't read
it. But then there's also real horror shit happening, too.
Yeah, it's confusing.
But it's all done with comedy.
Mm-hmm.
This is a crazy trailer.
Yeah. The trailer is way out there. I was all, the moment it's like, I saw the title, I saw Fred Armisen, and I was like, I'm in. this looks good.
I think Fred Armisen is fucking sick, talented comedian. Like, really one of good. The best people working today.
And it's one of the dudes, like, not everything he does I love, but everything he does is interesting and worth checking out.
I mean,
for sure.
Both Portlandia and Documentary Now.
Oh, Documentary Now is incredible.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, this guy is great. What a weird project, but I'm in. I want
to
see it.
Yeah, I mean, and it's hard to describe the trailer. It's just like, it's all mostly all in Spanish. Weird imagery, weird kind of kooky jokes. Kind of surrealist.
It's very surreal.
And just like, you can't really nail down. The tone is going to be surreal.
Like, at one point, the guy is like, there's the one character is the gay guy with blue hair who seems to be able to astral project or some shit.
Yeah.
And so there's like, they establish, oh, there is real supernatural shit happening. But then there's also a thing where they're faking an exorcism. They're like working cables and shit. And it was like, make someone fly in the air. It's like, what is happening on the show?
No idea. I'm excited for it to come out, though.
Yeah. Then we've got the television series of Das Boot, which seems like a terrible fucking idea. It's a sequel. Now, that being said, there was a book sequel to Das Boot written by the original guy who wrote it. And this is based loosely on said sequel. This is a German television series that was produced for Sky. It has already come out in England. It's now coming out here, picked up, I believe, by Hulu. If you've seen the original Das Boot, it's one of the best war movies ever made. And I mean the full fucking version.
I haven't seen it in a very long time.
I haven't either, but I did, in fact. The first time I saw the shortened to almost 3-hour version. And then I went back and watched like the 4.5-hour version. And I was like, see the 4.5-hour version. Yeah.
I mean, things are worth it.
For a film that's nothing but a bunch of dudes trapped on a submarine, it's fucking intense. Yeah. It's really good. And this actually uses the submarine that they used in the movie U-571, which was like an American Das Boot ripoff.
That's really funny.
But it's 1942, and it sets both on the people on the submarine, a different submarine, and then on the shore with a French resistance fighter who's apparently her, I guess to some degree she's torn about what to do, and that role is played by Lizzie Kaplan.
Yeah, who I love.
Oh, she's so wonderful, and I don't know why the show she's on don't last.
Yeah, I feel like everything she does is good. Like, every single thing I see her in, she's always good. Yeah.
But everybody in this, I recognized. I watch a lot of foreign films, though, so there's a lot of like, oh, I know them. But the one guy you're probably recognize, James Darcy, who was Howard Stark's butler, Edwin Jarvis, from Agent Carver. Carter. So, like, he's in this. Vincent Kartheiser, who was Angel's son on Angel, and as well played Pete Campbell on Mad Men, is in this.
I like how your first reference is Angel and not Mad Men.
Fuck yeah.
It shows where you're at. Yeah, I love it.
But, man, that was one of the main reasons I didn't watch Mad Men for a long time. It's like, I hated that little punk. Fucking Angel.
He kind of plays the snivelly dude in Mad Men, too, for most of it.
He does, but he's good on there. Yeah, he's really a whiny good. Little bitch on Angel.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen Angel. He is a punk in Mad Men, though.
And then we've got Swamp Thing. We're getting into the a set of the CW shows. This is not CW, I apologize, but we'll right after this. Superhero shows from DC, though. Mm-hmm. And this is from the DC streaming channel. People are already upset because they've already announced this is canceled before it even aired, but they've also said, okay, if a bunch of people sign up and start watching the show, we might give it a second season.
They announced that it was canceled like the first after the one season, before it
a
even
aired?
A
month ago.
Why would they do that?
I have no idea.
It's like, you know that show that's coming out? Don't bother watching it.
Yeah, because we're just going to cancel it.
What the fuck are you doing?
It's DC. They make decisions like that all the time.
That's a weird
I should say, to be fair, it's Warner Brothers. Yeah, they make decisions like that all the time.
Yeah, the show looks good.
But Abby Arcane, played here by Crystal Reed, is a CDC doctor who's looking for a life-threatening epidemic in her hometown. She goes to said town in Louisiana, a little tiny town called Houma, along with a scientist there, Alec Holland, played by Andy Bean. They're looking for the cure, and somebody gets involved that causes an explosion. I mean, if you ever read Swamp Thing, you know. Alec is apparently dead, fallen into the swamp, but then it turns out that this rejuvenating serum he was working on melded with the remains of his body and turned him into the Swamp Thing. Yeah. Which I don't know the degree to which this will get into it, but he's like an environmental god, basically. Yeah. He's like an element, if you will. But Batum Xanadu appears in this, which is kind of one of my favorite minor DC fantasy universe characters.
Oh, interesting.
Bat Cable, Jason Woodrue, played by Kevin Durand, of course, plays the, I would argue, probably the main bad guy. But you've also got Ian Ziering from Sharknado, plays Blue Devil.
Wait, was he in the trailer?
I did not see him in the trailer, but he's a fucking Blue Devil. I love Blue Devil.
I didn't spot that dude in the trailer.
He's one of my favorite DC, like, C-list characters. He's a Hollywood special effects guy who accidentally gets mystically bonded with a fucking suit that he built, a devil character. Yeah. And so now he's stuck in it, but he actually does. He has a combination of mystical powers and special effects abilities, So it's like that movie FX. But with a little bit of magic.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's like, that's very cool. I hope this is good. The trailer looks okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason, Friday the 13th Jason, Derek Mears plays Swamp Thing in Once He Becomes Swamp Thing. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, when you look at him, you're like, holy shit, that's dead on Swamp Thing from the comics. You nailed it. But it's also unmistakably Derek Mears.
You know what? I don't know if I'm able to even watch this. I'm not getting the streaming service. But part of me hopes that it's a success and they get a second season, because fuck you for canceling it before you even give it a chance.
Well, I mean, like they said, if enough people tune in and are saying good things about it, they might renew it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know our buddy John Golson, Digital Noises, was very upset they canceled immediately. That guy owns more Swamp Thing ephemera than anyone I've ever met.
Let's make it happen, people. Everyone watch Swamp Thing. You know what? I will watch it. I'll figure out a way.
More DC stuff, but on the CW, we got a very long trailer for Batwoman, which I admit I'm excited for. I kind of liked the crossover that they did last season on the CW shows with her. This is, what's her fucking name?
Ruby Rose.
I always want to say Rose Red. That's
John Wick 2 in Orange is the New Black.
Playing Kate Kane. She's Batman's cousin. She's in a town that's near Gotham? I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know from the comics, and I don't know if the show really explains it yet.
The show is like, I mean, all these CW shows are kind of the comics, kind of not. Okay. So, but like, Batman's cousin, but she's like military background and all that, and she's kind of a badass already. And she realizes that the Batman in the universe of the CW verse has mysteriously disappeared, and no one knows what happened to him. So there's like a gap, and the supervillains are coming back up, and she's like, well, I'm breaking into fucking his manor, and I know there's about him being Batman in the Batcave, and I'm just going to take his shit. Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
Yeah,
that's kind of fun.
Yeah, and I think this thing, like, the CW, I haven't watched a lot of them. I watched some of Flash. I watched Supergirl a little bit.
Mm.
I've dipped into some other ones, like, streaming-wise.
Legends of Tomorrow is the one.
I've watched some of those, and this seems very CW-ish, which isn't good or bad. It's just like...
It just is what it is.
It is what it is. It's CW. And some of the action look good. I do like that this is like straight up upfront. This is a lesbian character. Like, it's not like those things where it's kind of hinted at or like...
All the CW superhero shows are like super woke.
Yeah, yeah. But this is like main character, Batwoman, straight up front in the trailer. This is it. Which is like nice, finally. Like, it's not like the sidekick or someone else or like...
Well, never makes a big deal. There's no one, never anybody going like, I can't believe you're a lesbian. Yeah, yeah. I don't trust you because you're a lesbian. It's just like, no, she's a lesbian. Yeah. It's like her with another woman, the same, that no one calls attention to it because it's irrelevant.
CW, man. Like, be progressive. I like it.
Why not?
But yeah, the trailer looks pretty solid. Like, good action. Doesn't look super cheap, which a lot of these shows can at times.
I really like Ruby Rose in this. I think she's doing a pretty good job.
She fits the mask really well.
She does. Then CW is also doing a Nancy Drew TV show. You didn't get to see this because it happened last minute, but they just put out a thing that was just a clip, which is basically Nancy in this version, played by newcomer Kennedy McCann. She's 18 years old, post-high school, but her college plans are put on hold because her mom dies and she's got to deal with a bunch of family shit. So she's working at a restaurant and there's some fucking sort of big, weird, like electrical thing happens. And she goes outside and finds a dead body of this famous socialite outside. And she's like, what the hell?
She's like, I need to solve this shit.
Finds out that that's tied to the death of a teenage girl that she knew. And there's also a ghost.
Oh. Were there ghosts in Nancy Drew?
I mean, they never turned out to actually be real ghosts.
Okay, so she'll take the mask.
It was very Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, okay.
You know? But this might be. Who knows? I mean, they might go, it's a Riverdale spinoff, secretly. But
are there ghosts in Riverdale?
Riverdale's like Twin Peaks for teenagers, dude.
Shit, man. I'm
I mean, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but that's pretty much what it is.
I see some people loving it.
I mean, Sabrina is technically a spinoff of that, and that is straight up magic and Satan.
So good for them. I like that that's happening.
Yeah.
I've not watched any of them, but I like that it's happening.
And then Riverdale is getting a spinoff as well. We got a little trailer for Katie Keene. I have not actually watched anything past the pilot, but I know a lot of people love it. Lucy Hale plays a character from Riverdale, Katie Keene, and now has left the show because she's an aspiring fashion designer and she wants to get to New York City, and this sounds absolutely nothing like Riverdale. It sounds like a bunch of, like, you know, musical numbers and fashion stuff and people being very happy and, like, 90210 stuff, too. I was like, really? How is this connected to Riverdale, which is all murder and fucking
darkness?
Yeah,
I know that's murder show.
Yeah, this is not, but there's a trailer if you care. I'm very, like, whatever.
What a time we're in. We're Riverdale, the Archie shit, it's like a murder show.
Yeah,
that spins off. This is a crazy time.
Well, the guy who did Afterlife with Archie in the comics, which was a spinoff that was or a reboot, where the idea was the zombie apocalypse happened, but the Archie character's dealing with it, the super gory and stuff, was an incredible hit, and like critically and financially. And he ended up doing so, like he rebooted Sabrina in the comics, and everybody loved it. We made it darker and fucking like Satan-y.
Mm-hmm.
And then he so saved that brand. They made him president of the whole company, that writer. And now he's essentially, he's the executive producer of all these shows.
Nice.
So it's like the Archie brand now is a dark brand. it's so fucking weird.
It's so wild.
Yeah. Speaking of darkness, we got the first trailer for Black Mirror Season 5. It's only going to be 3 episodes, but it is the most expensive and the biggest cast they've ever done. Now, it's very unclear what the plot of this is going to be, of these 3 episodes, but the stars are Miley Cyrus, Anthony Mackie, Andrew Scott, Topher Grace, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, Damson Idris, Pom Clementif, that's what's her name? Mantis from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, yes.
Andrew Rice, Madison Davenport, Ludie Lin. I mean, this looks cool and Black Mirror-y, but you never know what you're going to get. But the idea of them reducing their focus to 3, good call,
Because there's a lot of misses in there.
Yeah.
And Black Mirror, like, I get really, like, bored with, like, we get it, technology's bad.
Not always. Sometimes they play it good.
But most of them, like, if you watch the whole season, it's like, we get it. Technology's scary and bad, can't be trusted. And then there's like little glimpses of other stuff in there.
The lesbian one is set in San Junipero.
Yeah, yeah.
That was fucking like one of my favorite episodes of TV the last
day. That was incredible. And that's why
technology's great.
That's kind of why I put up with the dourness of all this stuff, because there is something cool in there. So I'm hoping with 3 episodes, we get a more nuanced thing. I did see that one episode is like a technology truther sets out to show why technology is bad.
Right.
And I was like, okay, well, this is just like,
But then maybe he's proved wrong.
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to be. Yeah, we'll see.
I did. There was a story from a couple months ago where they said this season is actually going to be much more up than down.
Okay.
So cool. Maybe that's still true. I don't know. Then we got What If? Another Netflix television series. This is an anthology show created by Mike Kelly. I felt like I knew who that was for a second. Oh, he did Revenge.
Okay.
Which was a big show, obviously. But it is Renee Zellweger and her new nose. plays this sort of like, oh God, how do I describe her? She's like a, what am I looking for here? I feel like there's a comparison point
with
her. It
seems like a cross between like a Basic Instinct type character and then who's the...
like the Great Gatsby or some shit.
Yeah, and then like Robert Redford in Indecent Proposal.
Yeah, she... Yes, Indecent... This is basically Indecent Proposal, the television show, yeah, but with a mystery like box around
deeper
it.
Deeper into it, like, yeah. Yeah. It's a weird... I was, like, kind of confused and dumbfounded at this trailer. I was like, what the fuck is happening with this?
It's very odd. Apparently, like, I get the feeling that, like, every episode or two will switch to a different group of people dealing with her.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
okay. From what I've read about.
So she's like the one through line.
Right. Interesting. But it might be every season. I'm not sure. But Jane Levy plays the main person in this particular one, and her husband, Blake Jenner, who want to get her, this very rich, powerful woman, to like sponsor, help their company. And she's like, okay, but Indecent Proposal.
Yeah, I want to bang your husband.
Yeah, and then things go terribly wrong.
But. Yeah, and it seems just like she's being devious and shitty and like a huge asshole to everyone, and everyone's like, why are you like this? It's not going to solve. And then it's like, and she's being like seductress at some points, like power plays. I don't know. It's like,
and they're like, oh, you know, there is a great line in here where it's like the lamest thing in the world is for somebody who's been broken to use their power to break someone else, yes, or something like that. And I was, yeah, like, oh, that was a pretty good line.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. I mean, it could be like, it seems that it's not leaning far enough into like the trashiness of it to really be fun.
It's funny that it did Revenge. I have a feeling it's going to lean into the trash.
I'm hoping if it leans far enough, that it could be a fun show.
Yeah, you don't know. I mean, once again, Netflix, so they can do whatever the fuck they feel like doing. So then we have Emergence. This is yet another mystery box show that surrounds a crashed airplane.
Yeah.
What is the thing with that?
Yeah.
Or like an airplane disappears, an airplane crashes. There's like everybody that's lost. It's like, clearly the most important element is the airplane.
Yeah. Planes are crashing. We got to figure out why.
This one taking Alison Tolman, who I do genuinely love. Who is
so good.
Newly divorced police chief. She's got a teenage daughter herself. She's in the middle of the night. There's this huge, weird electrical shit going on. Like, all the lights at every house in the neighborhood comes on mysteriously. And they're like, oh, shit, there's something glowing down the beach. They see there's this big crash. Everyone's dead except for this girl, what, 11-year-old girl, I guess, yeah. I'll guess, who doesn't have a scratch on her, has no memory at all whatsoever, and wasn't listed on the manifest for the flight at all. And like, who is this person? And it's very clear. Early on, this is basically Beyond Two Souls, the video game. She's like got super hardcore telekinetic powers and shit, and can teleport and all sorts of stuff. And there's evil people looking for her.
Yeah, this show seems like people were like some network exec. Like, look at all the popular things. Like Stranger Things is popular. These plane crash movies. Let's take the element, jumble it up, spit it out. It's like, make this show now. And it's like, all right, I guess it doesn't seem very interesting.
I mean. Somebody do something that feels different from the other things we've seen
before. Yeah.
I mean, for fuck's sakes. This just feels like yet another one of these. And I don't mind the Mystery Box show. When they know how it ends, they know what all the fucking solutions are. But we're never going to see the end of this one. There's no way ABC is going to let this thing continue to its neck.
I mean, even if it doesn't, okay, like, she's an alien. The people who came looking for Alien, like, whatever. Who cares?
Also, Clancy Brown is in this. Oh, it looks like not a lot. Donald Faison. Man, I always wonder why that guy never went on to bigger and better things. He was such a huge hit on Scrubs. I always thought he would be a big guy, but
I remember seeing this.
Yeah. And then we get Not Just Me. Oh, man, I can tell you're excited about this one. This is based on it's weird. None of the information I've read about this admits that this is totally based on a true story, which is fucking creepy as shit, which was a doctor that was a fertility doctor that was very successful and like very famous. And then it turned out he had been fucking jacking off the test tubes and impregnating women with his own sperm for like decades.
Yeah.
So this is that.
This
as a show with his daughter, Timothy Hutton playing the doctor, his daughter, Brittany Snow, like finds out about this, like everybody finds out about this. He's like, oh, he's totally disgraced and look, he's going to go to jail, but he also had a heart attack, so he's in the hospital. And she finds a weird thing where connecting with like other people,
her
like
siblings.
To her siblings, yeah. To the two girls in question, Megalyn Ekinwoke, good Lord, help me. I'm and Emily Osment. And this looks awful and really inappropriate.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, the show doesn't seem to be treating this with the, like, how seriously fucked up this is. Like, it kind of dips into that. It's, like, these legal stuff, but it's also kind of playing it for some laughs at certain points and, like, some jokes. And it's like, this is fucked up.
It's really fucked up.
Like, this could be, like, an incredibly dark and, like, serious twisted drama, like an incredible movie, like that is like just depraved and like screwed up, but instead it's just like kind of light.
It's baffling show. Me yeah. that NBC is like, I'm sorry, Fox is like avoiding like crazy the fact this is based on a true story.
Yeah,
like totally based on a true story. They're like, they're doing their best to make it where no one brings it up, and I'm like, why? Oh yeah, because they go, this is tasteless and horrible, yeah. And you shouldn't be doing this. I mean, that story didn't happen all that long ago.
It was like,
so it was like
2 years ago. Or
yeah,
year? I remember
like,
hearing.
Wow, what are you guys thinking? That's like somebody's going to get pissed.
Yeah,
is all I'm saying. So another Fox show, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but this is one I actually might watch. Prodigal Son. Now, this is essentially just a network. Very networky, I should say, mm-hmm. version of Hannibal.
Yeah, straight on.
But that alone has me curious. Michael Sheen plays a guy who was a very well-renowned doctor who turned out to be an extremely prolific serial killer called The Surgeon. He went to jail. His son was like, what, maybe 10 or 11 years old when this happened. Flash to years later, where his son is being played by Tom Payne, who you guys might know playing Jesus on The Walking Dead. Not Jesus Christ, but the character they call Jesus because he looks Jesus-y. But now he doesn't have a beard, so I was like, who is that guy? Yeah, looks familiar.
I did not recognize him.
And has become a profiler of serial killers who was fired by the FBI, probably because they realized it's a little creepy his own dad was a serial killer, yeah. But is ends up being picked up by the NYPD, specifically under the aegis of Lou Diamond Phillips, who is really nice to see yeah. playing another role. I've always liked Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yeah, it's good.
I like to see him getting away from the direct-to-DVD dreck that appears like he largely was in. And they have to solve stuff, and there's a copycat killer, although I presume from watching this trailer, the copycat killer is the season arc.
Yeah.
Because it looks like there's a lot of other killers in between they're dealing with, mm-hmm. like, on the way. But then he has to go to his dad in jail for advice on this. And his dad's, like, totally sick, pleased. Like, no, it's great. Like, I mean, if you're not going to be a killer, at the very least, I
like to see you taking interest in my work.
At the very least, at the very least, you're interested in killers, and I'll be glad to help you based on that alone.
Having you say this out loud, it is just straight up Hannibal Lecter, Hannibal, like going to see the killer. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, the show doesn't look great to me. Like, but it's,
but fucking Michael Sheen, he's so good.
It is a bit of a like, it's a little twisted for a network show. So, like, I'm into that. Idea of it, but yeah.
Michael Sheen wouldn't have been a bad choice for Hannibal anyway. I was like, well, I could see him playing Hannibal Lecter. I hear he's just kind of playing this version of likable Michael Sheen, you know, mm-hmm. that sort of like, oh, he's kind of charming and funny, but who is a horrific killer. And one of the producers is Christopher Scott Fedak, who worked on Chuck and Deception, that were both very good shows. Mm-hmm. So kind of like, you know, it's Fox, which means don't, unless you guys turn it into a massive hit, no guarantee it's going to last for very long. But I got to admit, the trailer kind of sold me on it. Not so much with Deputy, although I could see this show actually becoming a hit.
Oh man, you know what? It's funny because this is one that I was a little more into.
Okay, no, but I could totally see the show being a hit. I'm watching it, I'm just like, first off, everybody still remembers liking Stephen Dorff, right? Yeah. Then we all still like Stephen Dorff. We're like, what happened to Stephen Dorff? Yeah. He was great.
I love him. The Gate.
Now he looks kind of old and grizzled. He looks like if Timothy Olyphant hadn't taken care of himself. and it's a modern-day cop drama, but that is totally not a modern-day cop mm-hmm. drama. It's completely a Western Wild West aesthetic where he's the guy. He was like a deputy. And the sheriff dies, and apparently there's some rule that's very arcane, but they have to go by where that ends up with, like, process of elimination. This guy has to be sheriff until they can elect a new one. And he doesn't want to be sheriff. He's like, no, I'm
a gunslinger. I'm not a politician type situation.
Yeah, I believe in catching bad guys.
Yeah.
He's like, wants to be out there in the shit.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is a entertaining.
It's a David Ayer joint.
I think.
Which, like, he makes some insane, but fun shit. Like, he's all over the map, but it's all, like, interesting and kind of wild. So,
dude, End of Watch was great by him. Movie, Training Day is great. He co-wrote The Fast and the Furious, the original one. He also did a movie that I have very guilty pleasure for, which is Street Kings.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember seeing Street Kings with you randomly at an early screening.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was, like, a long time ago, and there was the one where I think Terry Crews gets all shot up, like, 1,000 times, and then Keanu Reeves runs over to him and is like, stick with me, you can make it. And he's just like a piece of meatloaf on the ground. Like, he's just, and like, that's the type of David Ayer shit that I'm like, I kind of like it.
It was absurd, but it was kind of awesome absurd, where you're like, this is so ridiculous that I kind of love it.
Which I'm hoping he could bring some of that insanity to this network show.
Obviously, people are still with negative feeling after him doing Suicide Squad that people did not care for, but he's done a lot of stuff I really liked, so you never know.
Yeah.
Then we have Stumptown. Now, the trailer looks really kind of like, I mean, it's an interesting trailer, but like, it's ABC, who does procedural cop stuff, like a lot of like, I'm the badass who doesn't play by the rules. This is based on a fantastic comic book series by Greg Rucka.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
A really great, very noir, but funny, dark private detective series.
Yeah.
Here, Kobe Smulders, who people know from the Avengers films, plays
Death. How I Met Your Mother for a different
Was she in that? I have no idea.
Not a bad sitcom.
Until it ends, apparently.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. I mean, that was one of the sitcoms that Tarantino, like, loves.
Oh, really?
Like, I remember him mentioning, like, his favorite shows, and that was one of them, and I was like,
Well, she plays Dex, who is a Army veteran who's become a private investigator in Portland, Oregon, also taking care of her, developmentally disabled brother, I guess? I don't know. The trailer's largely, most of it is like one scene with her. She's in the back, the trunk of a car where these guys have abducted her, and then she basically manages to get out and kick both their asses inside the car. And
it's a pretty good sequence.
It was a solid sequence. Yeah. I was like, it kind of made me go from a show I had all but written off, because I'm like, ABC is not the network to do this kind of show, to going, okay, maybe there's something here.
It strikes me as a show that the pilot might be really badass and good, and then the show won't be. Like, you know, like it kind of feels like that type of thing.
I can see that. It's got Michael Ealy in it as well, who I genuinely really, really like a lot as kind of looks like the detective who's putting up with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the police guy's like, I like her, and we have a thing. We definitely have a thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she's nothing but trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, sure enough.
Colby!
And then we have Bluff City Law. Now we're getting into the bad stuff, people. Just prepare yourself. This is NBC. It's set in Memphis. It's a lawyers of an elite Memphis law firm that specializes in the most controversial landmark civil rights cases, led by legendary lawyer Elijah Strait and his brilliant daughter Sydney Keller. Jimmy Smits plays Elijah Strait.
Okay.
He's run the company for a while. His daughter, Sydney, newcomer Caitlin McGee, who apparently she's real liberal. He's real conservative. He's like, don't you understand? We're a better team when we work together with both viewpoints. Yawn.
Yeah.
Super yawn.
This is just like a contempt of court. Who paid you off? I'm the righteous lawyer. Come on, it's a family.
I think almost every trailer we have for dramas going forward are that like person in a role in law or police force or medicine who doesn't play by the rules.
Yeah, like every we're getting into the zone where every single trailer that's like a drama like ends with one of those like Fox or CBS like, it's going down. And it's like how every trailer ends, and it's like, God damn it. Watching these in a row, I just wanted to kill myself.
All right, so now let's go into prediction of how long, with each show we go, how long will it last?
With Bluff City Law, I'm going half season.
Half season, me too. Yeah, half season. Actually, I predict this will get four episodes.
Four episodes,
before they cancel it. Yeah.
Four episodes, and it's midnight on Friday night. Show's canceled, not renewed. Yeah.
Then we have FBI's Most Wanted. Now, this is from Dick Wolf. And Dick Wolf is a legend, man. The guy did, like, more successful television shows than almost anybody in history. I mean, he ran the whole Law & Order franchise and other things. And this is a spinoff of his drama FBI, which has also been very successful. All the characters from this one were introduced in the first season of FBI. Julian McMahon, who I know best as Dr. Doom from one of the bad Fantastic Four movies, plays the lead guy, is bringing in, like, a team of people. Was like, our job is not to bring justice to the fugitives. Our job is to bring the fugitives to justice. Okay. I mean, it's more of the same crap, but, like, Dick Wolf's good at these shows. I don't watch FBI or any of his most recent stuff, but he's got, like, this network knows when it's a Dick Wolf show, it's got a good chance
of being popular. My prediction for this one is, at least it'll finish out its season.
I predict seven seasons.
Seven? Oh, yeah. Shit.
I think it's going to do just fine. I won't watch it.
I don't have a good sense
for these. But your dad will watch it.
Yeah, that's true.
I like, oh, it's got a Kellan Lutz, who's one of the worst actors alive. But he plays one of the people in here. I don't know, man. Like, it's not my thing, but whatever. You guys know who you are. And then we have All Rise. Man, this just made me sad.
Yeah.
You know why? Because Simon Messick plays the lead character here, and she was Misty Knight in the Netflix Marvel shows, and she's one of my favorite things about those shows. And it was so sad right off the bat. This is the acknowledgement that shit's definitely over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. like I said earlier, maybe about someone else, like, she's getting a network check, which is good for an actor who's working. Like, this thing's probably not going to last. It doesn't look great, but, you know, she'll be good for a couple months.
It's a CBS show. I actually predict this one might get to three seasons. She's a judge that doesn't play by the rules.
Yeah, but just knowing, like, the CBS market, I don't know if they're going to take a young woman black judge like that serious. CBS viewership seems to be, I don't know. I might be being a little judgmental here, but
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but, like, I feel like the CBS market has kind of gotten to anybody who's over 45 at this point.
That could
you
be
know,
true.
Like, regardless of like ethnic background.
Maybe so.
And she's really good. She's very charismatic. And even the trailer was like, this is nowhere near the worst trailer of these type of shows.
Oh, no, she's selling it.
I was like, you're selling it, man. You're making me go, like, if people like this, I won't be resentful about it. I'll be like, yeah, I can see why y'all like this. It's just not my type of thing. But, like,
classic good for them thing.
Exactly. And then we have Tommy, another female lead character who doesn't play by the rules, who's the first female police chief in L.A. For the LAPD.
Oh, Edie Falco.
The wonderful Edie Falco, no question, who I guess might be enough to push this over the top to the point of at least getting a solid first season here. I mean, it's hard to say. It's a really generic trailer. The guy who's producing this, who's creating it, was created House. He got Academy Award nominations for Quiz Show and Donnie Brasco's screenplays. I mean, he's no slouch, but this looks like the most generic shit.
So generic.
Like, she's the cop and everybody's against her, and the mayor's maybe not criminally corrupt, but, like, corrupt on that sort of, like, I'm only interested in what benefits me.
Yeah. It's a classic. We hired a lady so we could push her around to get what we want. Oh, no. We hired a really strong-willed lady who's great at her job.
Oh, no.
What are we going to do?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, okay. And it's like, going down.
Exactly.
Like, and then that plays out. Yeah.
There's just not a lot here to recommend this sort of thing. Now, Michael Chernus? Yes. Who was in Orange is the New Black. Is one of the main other characters here, but whatever. Yeah. Let's keep going, because we got to keep going through this shit. There's so much to talk about. There's Evil, which I know you guys are like, wait, hold on, Evil? What is that? Well, sadly, once again, another Netflix great from the Marvel series, Mike Coulter, has lowered himself to doing this shit. Produced by Robert and Michelle King, who did The Good Wife and the spinoff of that, which have both been monster successes. Hits,
yeah. And I'd say this one, it might just because we were in the middle of, like, the It's Going Down music cues. This one didn't have that.
True.
So it stuck out to me, and I was like, you know, this looks kind of interesting. Like, it might just be because I was getting fatigued of the pacing of all the other trailers. But it looked like,
I mean, to some degree, you're right. It felt just different enough, but then it felt like, wait, it's a supernatural show that's a procedural, but yeah. like, that is always like, but is it real?
Yeah, so like, it's like a psychiatrist, or yeah. see, like, these people who are criminally insane, these people insane, and like, these people who work for the Catholic Church find her to be like, we need your help distinguishing between what's insane and what's possession. And she's like, I don't believe in that possession shit. And they're like, well, maybe you should. And then she starts getting creeped out by certain stuff.
Because clearly there's actually possession.
Here's your crucifix. Hold on to it.
Katja Herbers, who played Dr. Helen Prinz on Manhattan, as well as Emily in Westworld. Mike Coulter is the guy from the Catholic Church who's there to be charming and hot. Mm-hmm. And say like, well, there actually is this. But I'm trying to team up with you because it's not only easy to tell who's possessed and who's just crazy. Michael Emerson from Lost plays a guy. I'm not sure what his job is here, but they don't like him. They punch him in the face at one point, so I have no
it's
idea.
It's kind of jarring when that happens.
I mean, I don't know. It's CBS. This ultimately is not going to be good horror.
I don't know.
It's going to be light horror.
Here's the thing. If this is good, like, let's say it comes out and, man, this is really good, it will get canceled. if what the trailer promises, if it like makes good on that and it's actually like interesting, it will not last. If it's very generic and kind of whatever, then you have like maybe a couple seasons of it.
Yeah, I feel like this one, actually, I feel like this one's not even going to make it to a full season.
Yeah.
I really don't.
That's the thing. Like, I think it's a lose-lose. Like, if it's kind of just boring, whatever, and if it's actually good, the CBS audience isn't going to want to deal with like devil possession shit. Like, right? This is not going to happen for them, yeah.
Part of the problem is that these networks have so become not connected with genre stuff that it's the trash, the stuff that's for your grandmother, that, like, they make a success off of. Mm-hmm. It's, like, the stuff that, like, streaming networks has gotten really good at, these guys clearly are always going to do a half-ass job.
Yeah, always a step behind.
Yeah. Including the next one. Next, like, Big N, Little E, Big X, Little T, which, by the way, is exactly the name of the company that Steve Jobs formed after Apple,
weirdly enough.
It didn't last, but this is a Fox show about evil AI.
Oh, that's this one.
John Slattery from Mad Men, who's like the guy who runs this huge computer company, who's like, oh, some shit's going down, and it looks like this code that I did in fact develop, but then we totally canceled because it was too dangerous. Something's happened, and now the computer's alive!
Oh, my God!
It's gonna kill everyone because it can connect to everything, no matter how unlikely that is.
If you've seen anything even close to this, you've seen this thing. I can't imagine it distinguishing itself apart from, 2001, or even iRobot, or, anything. It's
how many episodes you give it?
Damn, I don't even know. Is this guaranteed even more than one?
I don't know.
It
looks so bad.
The thing is, people eat this shit up. I think a mass audience does eat this shit up.
I know Technofear is a big thing, but you look around at the amount of shows out there, you're like, there's not a lot of Technofear shows.
I think this is
Robot?
It's like the watered down Black Mirror that your grandma's going to be excited for.
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll see.
I give it three episodes.
Yeah.
Then we have The Unicorn. This will probably be a hit. I don't want it to be, because it stars my boy Walton Goggins from Justified and the Western show I'm thinking of.
Deadwood,
thank you. Walton Goggins, one of the best television actors we've had in the last 10 years, playing a completely...
Wait, is Goggins in Deadwood? I'm wrong on that.
Goggins isn't Deadwood.
Okay, it's been a while.
I think so. Am I wrong?
Forgive us if we're wrong. That's a big one of this. I'm thinking about it, and I might just be putting him out of Justified into Deadwood.
No, but, oh, The Shield.
The Shield. I'm thinking of Timothy Oliphant.
Although he probably appeared in Deadwood at some point. Right?
He's one of those guys
who's
probably been in everything that's great.
He's been in a lot of stuff, dude. No, he was not. I don't think he was in Deadwood.
I'm happy that I realized that was not the case.
Sons of Anarchy.
Don't at us.
He was in for 2 seasons. He's great. But here he's not playing a cool anti-hero or anti-villain. Is that the term? When someone's decidedly a villain, but you like him?
He's either anti-hero or straight villain.
Yeah. But here he's a widowed father who's got 2 daughters, and he's a great dad. Mm-hmm. And he was a great husband, but his wife died. But it's been a little while, his wife's died, and now all the ladies in the neighborhood who are hot are fucking this dude.
Yeah, we
is
need him.
Good looking. He's successful. He's a great dad, and I want to do him.
Yeah,
that's The Unicorn.
You know, I gotta say, this show, this trailer is the one comedy trailer we watched, it made me laugh.
It did kind of make me laugh, but I still don't think I'm going to watch it. It's, once again, a CBS show. It's going to be a little too harmless, despite the presence of Rob Corddry.
Well, see, Corddry had a couple lines here that made me laugh.
Corddry's like, the one who sold it.
Yeah. Like, I think this... Yeah, the thing is, it's hard to put trust in a network. Like, the trailer showed me stuff that, like, if this was on Hulu or on Netflix...
You would have watched
it. Amazon, I was like, oh, man, this could be good, but because it's on CBS, I just assume it's going to be... Like, yeah, toothless.
Yeah, toothless. Yeah. Exactly. But like, there were some funny scenes, but it really felt like it was almost all that was falling on Corddry playing a very Corddry role, just without the usual cuss words you associate from him.
You know, but shout out to get your money, Goggins. Collect them checks so you can go make some interesting movies for us again.
Yeah,
you know?
Please go back and. I want to see Goggins lead a series. I just don't want to see him lead this kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see him like the head of a fucking like. Western crime family in the old west, you know, type thing. Who's like badass?
Yeah, give me anything like that from him.
Just give me a fucking spinoff of The Shield. I'd be happy. Then we have, oh boy, we're getting into the really fucking bad dregs now. Carol's Second Act. We're starting to get into the sitcoms and the fucking trashy dramas. Carol's Second Act is an American sitcom. This is on CBS once again. Patricia Heaton, who is not known as much. For, like, well, I guess she is. She was in Everybody Loves Raymond, as well as The Middle. But she plays an older lady who's raised her two children. She's retired from being a teacher, and she decides after her husband leaves her, she's going to become a doctor. And so now she's an intern with a bunch of much younger, super, super ridiculously, unrealistically hot interns.
You know, okay, so let me, I'm going to give you the me watching this trailer. I started it, and then in the first, like, 10 seconds, I was, like, laughing because I thought... It was a parody.
Yeah.
And it was nailing it so hard. And, like, with the super loud laugh track and what was happening. And I was like, oh, my God, what is this? This is going to be incredible. I thought it was just, like, it was going to flip at some point. And it was going to be revealed that this is, like, a joke. And this isn't it. But then it has never flipped. And I was like, holy shit, this is so bad.
It felt like at some point they were going to pull back and be like, this is actually a show about the making of a terrible show.
Yeah, it looks like a show within a show type of thing. It's incredible. And like, I suggest everyone go watch this trailer. Go watch this trailer because it is...
The degree of terribleness you recommend?
It is so... Like, I truly thought... It looked like an SNL skit. It was just like... Oh my God, this is a real thing people
Kyle
made.
Kyle McLaughlin is a doctor who's the love interest, and I'm like, no, Kyle McLaughlin, no.
But, you know, that's another instance. Just like, this show will be canceled quickly. He got a nice little money.
There's no way this show's going to be.
No way. This cannot. Because even as far as like.
Trailer's so not funny.
As far as like your terrible networks, like Big Bang Theory type shit.
Yeah.
Even compared to that, this makes Big Bang Theory looks like fucking like Seinfeld or some shit.
It's garbage.
Really bad.
Yeah. I mean, I like startlingly bad humor.
Yeah.
And then we have Filthy Rich. I'll admit. This is not going to be my thing, but it'll probably be a hit because, oh my God, a lot of people out there love fucking Kim Cattrall being a bitchy, horrible person. Mm-hmm. And here she's playing the queen of all bitchy, horrible people, who is the wife of a major pastor on a Christian television network, which is to say, not even vaguely a Christian, a complete piece of shit.
I do like that this aims at evangelists. It's a weird network because it, like, these evangelists are pieces of shit, and that's what the show kind of is about.
Well, yeah, it's like, so he dies on a plane with a couple strippers who he's fucking.
Yeah.
Of course, because he's a Christian major evangelist, which means by definition he's a piece of garbage.
Like on his private jet type Christian shit.
And his wife is left picking up the pieces, only to find out when she looks at his will that he left a bunch of people she's never even heard of as major inheritors of the will, and to discover... Oh shit, he had children with multiple other people, bastards, if you will. And so she's trying to negotiate with him. I'll give you this much money if you just fuck off. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, we've got you over a barrel here. So no, we want a lot more money and to be involved. Okay. Wildly not my type of show, but I can see this being like, a trashy type of thing that people are going to suck up
And this strikes me is that if this was like on Showtime, this shit, or like HBO, it could be like fucking good. Yeah. But because it's on a network show, I don't think it'll go to the dark places that something like this could
hit. I think it might, though, because it is hitting that sort of like, this is going for a dynasty vibe more.
I mean, this show could be good, actually. You know, this screams of something that like normally like 4 years down the line, it's been on for 3 seasons, and then you start seeing people like kind of talk about it. It's like, man, this network show is actually good. I can't believe it's actually good. And then I'll catch up with it and be like, man, that was actually pretty good. But that's about it. You know, like, those things.
It's a remake of a New Zealand show that was very popular.
Okay, well, yeah, there you go. But it could be good.
I mean, I like Kim Cattrall, but because of Big Trouble in Little China. But I know that was a long time ago. Like, get over it, Chris. It was a long time ago. But this is not for me.
Yeah.
And also, I don't find amusement in making light of evangelists. I think the only way I would be amused is if they're all put in jail for the rest of their life for being giant con people.
I'm curious if they're going to make light of it. It seems like they might be holding them to the flame on it. We'll see, though.
I mean, they are, by definition, saying they're corrupt, horrible human beings. Something. Which I know is good in the sense that it's putting that idea out there, which is true, but I also just don't find pleasure watching it play out, because we all know it.
Yeah. It's like... Well, yeah. For the people who don't know it, watch the show.
ABC is doing a second spinoff of Black-ish, which, you know, I'm embarrassed to say I've still not watched, but I hear is wonderful.
Caught some eps. It's one of the shows that if you're watching a show on Hulu and it finishes, the next show's like, here's an episode of Black-ish. So because of that, I've seen like 10 or 12 episodes.
Right.
Not bad. I just haven't sat down and watched it all.
I've always heard it's good. Yeah. And they did a Grown-ish, which is the old eldest daughter of the show goes to college. Mm-hmm. So now this one, Mixed-ish, is the prequel spinoff, which is sort of a How I Met Your Mother premise, where it's the two main characters from Black-ish, the parents, going like, oh, well, here's our backstory, or specifically the mom's, backstory, Rainbow Johnson, and Tracy Ellis Ross. And it keeps going back to them telling their kids about their backstory or her backstory, where she was born of like hippie parents that originally were living in a sort of cult compound and then was busted by the FBI. And then there was a fish out of water thing where they were thrown after she's like already like 13 years old. Thrown into the real world and having to deal with it and adjust. And this is a cute idea.
Yeah, I think if you're a fan of Black-ish and like these like shows, like I think this would be good. This is another one that like eventually I might watch a couple episodes on Hulu and find like mildly amusing, but never really get into. I do the scene where the FBI breaks up the hippie commune and they're just like beating hippies, like tackling them, was funny. Like, it was, like,
I mean, I laughed when like the guy's father is played by Gary Cole from Office Space and comes in like where they're forced to go back to the real world and comes in. What's up, hippies?
Yeah. And then her father in the flashbacks is. I forgot his name. He's from Workaholics. Anders something.
Anthony Anderson.
Anderson. No. Her white father and her flashbacks.
Oh.
Anders something. I forgot. He's in Workaholics. If you're a fan of Workaholics, you know which one he is. But yeah, the cast looks good. I mean, it's like a solidly compared to like these other sitcoms we've seen, this is like a solidly made network sitcom.
As opposed to our next one, which is Broke on CBS, this is garbage that will not last for more than a season, I hope. Pauly Perrette, who is somebody actually best known for NCIS, strangely, not for comedies, is a white trash...
Oh,
lady
yeah.
with her kids.
I was trying to remember which one this was. I was like, okay.
It's like her sister comes back into her life, played by Natasha Leggero, who got married to a very rich guy, Jamie Camille. And then it turns out that for whatever reason, the show didn't make clear, they lost all their money. And she's like, can we stay with you? Mm-hmm. And it's like rich meets poor, fish out of water thing. That can yawn.
Which is a bummer because like Natasha Leggero is so funny.
Yeah.
She's like, she's really good. She's on a lot of podcasts I listen to. She's a freaking best. Like she's just really good. And this just looks like, I don't know. Whatever.
It looks like the worst episode. 20-year-old sitcom.
Yeah. Literally, it's only from like the late 90s. Or like early aughts.
Yeah, like I don't even. It out. I give it 9 seasons.
Yeah,
because this is like exactly the type of garbage that your average American is going to adore and eat up. Not me though. Even worse. Oh my god! I give it this one episode. Perfect Harmony.
Give me a synopsis. I'm forgetting which one's
Perfect Harmony. Is Bradley Whitford is a guy who's a professor in a prestigious music college, and something happened that made him fall out to the bottom. He's getting ready to commit suicide when he's sitting. He's like, God, give me a sign, and he hears a church choir singing horribly in a church next to where he is, and he's like, what the fuck? This will not stand. I'm not going out like this. And he ends up taking a job being the director of the church choir, and the trailer shows you literally everything that happens in the first season. They succeed. They end up integrating a bunch of pop music into their thing. They turn into a huge sensation. They're in a contest.
Everybody loves him. Plus Mr. Holland's Opus plus Glee. Here's your movie.
Garbage. I give it one episode.
Yeah.
And then we get Bob Hart's Abishola. This also will not last for more than half a season, despite the fact legendary mediocre television creator Chuck Lorre is behind this one. But he did. I would have said the same thing about Big Bang Theory, which he created, but that went on forever and ever and ever and got a spinoff. But this one...
Shouts to my young Sheldon heads.
Right? Yeah. Oh, you wanted that? You're like, young Sheldon, I got the t-shirt.
Yeah. Check out my young Sheldon tattoo, man. I love young Sheldon.
Plus-sized stand-up comic Billy Gardell, and I only say that because that's part of his act, plays Bob. His big thing is he's gourmet socks. God. Can you say gourmet for things that aren't food? I feel like
I don't know. I'm pissed.
He has a heart attack because his life is hard and his family are dicks. And he's got a Nigerian nurse played by newcomer Falaki Olu. Oh my God, my
name is
Falaki. It's a long name, and I'm sorry for my whiteness, but I really cannot even try. newcomer Abishola, and they end up hitting it off, even though the trailer barely shows that happening. And everyone's like, what? How are you two together? And this feels kind of offensive, quite frankly.
It's so weird. I mean, the thing is, nothing in the trailer itself is being offensive. But it's like the meta context of the trailer is like, wink, wink, isn't this so crazy that this white guy would be into this African woman? Isn't that so crazy? Oh. And it's just like, I guess, trailer.
One of the creators is an African woman. Comedian Gina Yashare, but it does not look good.
It doesn't look good. I mean, I will say, for the newcomer who's playing her, like, she's natural on camera. I'm trying to find something positive to say. Like, she's doing the sitcom acting thing, and she's, like, doing it well, but, it doesn't look good.
I think even worse looking is Sunnyside. And talk about a thing that looks like it's going to have a hard time not being offensive, despite the fact that very, very liberal and woke comedian, actor, director, politician Cal Penn is starring in this thing, and I believe it was one of the creators here. He plays a former New York City councilman who ends up in a situation helping a bunch of immigrants who need his help to try and basically pass the tests to become full-fledged American citizens. And everything about this looks not funny and bordering on kind of offensive.
Maybe. I think it's hard to tell from a trailer. Who knows what the show will be like. I will say that everything, unfortunately, in this trailer fell really flat.
Yeah.
Like, it has, like, the setup or something, like, and the prestige behind it. Like, there's, like, the creators of the show, of the, does he have what they else did created? I remember seeing the credits.
The what now?
The creators of the show, the other things that they've
I just done. See Cal Penn, so.
I forgot who they, but like, there's some prestige behind the show, and it seems like something that could be good, but everything in the trailer falls flat.
Not funny.
Nothing
at all.
So it's just like, fuck, like, it's, at this like, is your
isn't
best
it funny
forward?
That this this stereotype, ethnic stereotype, is known for this?
Yeah.
I'm like,
and it's like,
what?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
What are you doing? How did you do this, Cal Penn? You were the guy. You were the great Indian hope. Then we have Chad, which actually does look kind
of
good.
Chad. Like, what network is Chad on?
I want to say
it a Hulu?
It
might be one of the streaming services.
It's TBS.
TBS. Actually, TBS has a good streak going.
This is Nassim Badrad, who was a huge hit on Saturday Night Live from 2009 through 2014 because she did an endless amount of really impressive impressions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's one of the... She was, like, their impression person for a while. She's very good.
She's also
been on Scream Queens, People of Earth, and New Girl, as well as playing a new character that they've added to the storyline for Aladdin, which people are weirdly saying is actually kind of good in the early reviews. We'll find out next week. But here, she's playing a role unlike anything she's ever done before. She's playing a 14-year-old boy in high school.
Yeah.
I like the trailer. Actually shows the makeup thing of her going from very beautiful woman to like clearly someone who looks like at first gauge a teenage boy.
This trailer made me laugh actually quite a bit. This is TBS is on the streak with the what was that Michael Showalter run show? It's like the search for It's like it has what's-her-face from Arrested Development in it. It was I watched like 3 episodes of it, but I didn't have cable, so I haven't been able to watch it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's like a mystery show set up. I don't forget what it's called. But like TBS is on a run of like pretty good stuff.
Didn't
like,
they do Mr. Robot?
Is that USA? I think that's USA.
Oh, not USA.
Yeah. Same difference.
Yeah, it gets a bit up. But the show looks funny. Like, I think it could be good.
I mean, on the surface, if you take out the fact that it's a female playing a male, I go, I've seen a lot of shows that look just like
maybe,
this.
Maybe, that could be a thing.
But it's also like a Middle Eastern girl trying to fit in with white people mm-hmm. and stuff. That exactly. adds another level to it. And I'm like, I don't know. I definitely am interested. She's a 37-year-old woman playing a 14-year-old boy, mm-hmm. and that makes me curious.
And it gives me hints. Have you watched Pen 15 on Hulu
No,
yet?
But I hear good things about
it's
it.
It's incredible.
I know it's a similar concept.
In that one, they're like early 30s people playing 7th grade girls. But the... It's a very different setup from this. I don't want it to seem like this is doing what that's doing. Because it's a totally different, like, avenue. Not to mention just, like, the gender swap of the character she's playing. But it is, like, a weird thing that this happens to be following that. It's like, oh, yeah, this is the thing we could do. It's like, in Pen 15, it makes it so they can be put in situations and do things that you couldn't really dramatically and comedically ask children to do.
Right.
But they could do it as in children. And they have other children actors around them. Which this is also doing, which is a good like cheat if you could pull it off and let the illusion fall away.
Right,
like it's pretty good. You could accomplish some things.
The dirty fucked up shit that kids actually do, about being accused of being an asshole by having
the kids do it. Yeah, yeah, it's a nice little trick.
Next up is Outmatched. This is a sitcom on Fox. Jason Biggs trying yet again to be relevant.
Uh-huh.
Man, I used to like Jason Biggs quite a bit. Man, yeah. I love that first American Pie movie.
Yeah,
even the second one wasn't. Completely
Look,
unforgivable.
Chris loves fucking pies.
Well,
he
I
loves
fucked
it.
A few pies.
He loves it, and he won't apologize
for the record, chocolate chess pie is the way to go. But he and Maggie Lawson, who is known for Psych, playing Jules O'Hara on that show, one of the major characters on there, as well as she was in Flynn and Lethal Weapon. They're a married couple that are just very average couple. Mm-hmm. Like they're not like of higher intelligence. They're not total idiots, but they're stoners,
yeah,
as the trailer sets up. And they have 4 kids, 3 of which are mega geniuses that they of all different types, who and one of which is a complete idiot.
Yeah.
And they have no idea how to handle the situation, which is kind of a funny setup.
The concept is good. Like parents who are of normal intelligence, normal people who happen to have 3 genius kids, or even just like, right. And then the wrinkle of having one other kid who's not a genius is also funny. Nothing in the trailer is really that funny, but like,
it's okay. There's moments I chuckled at.
Yeah, there's like, I mean, it's
I like
charming.
How he's like, he went like, I used to dream about like our catching our kids down here like smoking pot in the garage in the basement. And now we're sitting here smoking pot, talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Hiding from the kids, smoking
from the
pot in the basement. Yeah.
Pot, yeah.
But there's some clever stuff.
One of the creators is Barry Kemp, who created Newhart and Coach, which like big, big sitcom deals. So I'm not going to throw this one out, you know, and say like
we'll
this
see,
is an impossible hit. I think this one's actually got a chance.
Yeah. All right. Got a chance. That's
got a chance.
That's a lot more than we can say from a lot of the other ones.
We are still talking about television shows. There's that much. We're going to there's an animated comedy, Bless the Hearts. This is created by Emily Spivey, Saturday Night Live creator, writer, Emmy Award winner, who they're putting this right after The Simpsons, so it's going to be a success.
People will watch it. I don't know. The thing they showed was not great. I love...
It was not... But it was one clip.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't
That's
like
true.
A full trailer. So it's like very, very poor Southern family, but that are apparently quite likable and have a lot of family and friends.
Good cast, like Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, it's Kristen Wiig, Maya Rudolph, Jillian Bell, and Ike Barinholtz. And you're like, okay.
Love that
That's
cast.
Pretty yeah. amazing cast right there. So I have a feeling the clip, like I said, shows us almost nothing. But the show, just by placement, people are going to watch
be.
It.
I know, like, if you're watching, like, Bob's Burgers is incredible. And that, like, I feel like Simpsons is, like, still... I've watched them like recently and they're still pretty solid, you know, nothing like the heyday, but funny. And if you like Family Guy, it'll be in there. So it'll probably last a while. They'll give it some legs for a bit.
The last of our trailers is also an animated trailer. And I'm very excited about this. Actually, this is Jendi Tartakovsky, who did Samurai Jack and the original Star Wars, The Clone Wars. Very stylized, fascinating animation director who unfortunately left us television for a while to do the Hotel Transylvania movies, which I've never seen any of, but I've heard her.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he's going back to television doing the show Primal.
It looks about a caveman
who's like the most primitive caveman. He's like literally one of the, like, we're talking like the very beginning of man starting to figure out fire and shit, who ends up becoming friends with one of the last dinosaurs still around, which, by the way, there's like 3 million years or some shit between that, but whatever. That wouldn't have happened, but this is super violent, crazy, awesome Tartakovsky.
The little trailer clip or something we saw was like very brief, very quick. Animation looks cool.
Yeah.
It looks violent. It looks like it's a perfect like teaser. It's like, what is this gonna be? Like, you wanna see it.
I was super excited to see it and to hear about this happening. I mean, it's kind of gorgeous. And it's Adult Swim, so it's gonna be probably very R-rated. Mm-hmm. I mean, the trailer is very R-rated.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs ripping the shit out of each other and cavemen bashing skulls in with it's bloody and kind of awesome, and I'm kinda psyched about it. I hope it's good. Tartakovsky is great, and I think he's better on TV than he is in the movies. So
bring it on.
Wow, that was a long first sequence. Holy shit, we had a lot of trailers. It is that just time of year with all the TV stuff that got launched. But now we're getting into the news, which hopefully will go a little faster. But you never know. I'm having such a good time talking with Alan here. And right off the bat, I mean, so the Fortnite video game series, which I have never played.
Never played, but it is huge.
Yeah, Battle Royale type series of games. Very huge. They put out a video game trailer for it saying that John Wick is now a character in the games, and that you can do things as John Wick or related to John Wick to win the sort of gold coins from that. Mm-hmm. And like Lance Reddick is going to be a voice in it.
Oh,
and Shane is going to be a voice in it. And I'm like, that's kind of crazy marketing.
That might be the thing that gets me to like download this. It's like a free game too, right? Or something. I don't know. I apologize for my ignorance about it, but like, I know that it's a PC game or you can play it on any computer. Like, I think it's just you download it and it's like free open world gameplay.
It might be, I think, where you download the extra stuff. And I think this is one of those, like, you pay for it and you get a whole extra level of stuff with John Wick related. But they also announced franchise director Chad Stahelski talking about the future of the series, which if you see the newest one, you'll see. Cliffhanger again.
Yeah.
So clearly set up for four, as well as we know there's a TV show, The Continental, on the way. But basically, he and Reeves have said, as long as the audience still wants to see these, we'll keep making them because we like doing these.
This was the first movie to dethrone Avengers, finally. Like, because Pikachu was right under Avengers since the weeks, and this one finally eclipsed it, and like this weekend it made more money than the Avengers made this week.
Yeah, I mean,
in this weekend
overall, but
in this weekend. It finally Avengers is the number one. It's crazy that a rated R, ultra violent, like headshots galore, this insane mythology, crazy, like, is the number one movie at the box office.
But there we go. I couldn't be happier.
Me either. Like,
give me more John Wick.
Are fucking good. Yeah, they're fun. Bring them on.
So they announced that the first film up after The Rise of Skywalker, which I believe there's like a 2-year break, will be the one directed by the Game of Thrones guys, not the Rian Johnson. We know they both got assigned their own trilogies, which are not directly connected. We don't know anything about them, but that the first one we're going to see will be by Benioff Weiss.
Yeah. I'm very pumped that we're getting eventually get some Star Wars movies outside of the Skywalker purview. That's a great direction to go in. Get me out of the direct mythology down. I wish the Rian Johnson ones were first. I love Rian Johnson. I loved The Last Jedi. I know that's like a divisive movie for a lot of people, but I fucking loved it. And I'm kind of bummed about this, but I'm also, I love Star Wars. I like the idea of getting outside of it. I think this being announced right now when everyone's shitting their pants about Game of Thrones, like, is like kind of a wild time to announce it. But
were shitting their pants even more about Rian Johnson just a year ago. So,
that's true. You know. Who knows?
Toxic fandom. What are you going
to
do?
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, if they think the Game of Thrones people are harsh, just wait till you get to the Star Wars people. This movie better be pretty good. Yeah.
Walt Disney has now announced that they have bought the final 33% stake in Hulu from NBC Universal through a deal with Comcast, which now gives them absolute operational control of Hulu effective immediately. Now, everybody knew this was on the way, that this was coming anyway, but it's just kind of interesting that now Disney has officially two streaming for pay networks out there. Disney Plus, when that launches, and Hulu, which will, they've already said, have a number of for adults Marvel-related shows on it.
And I know this is like, I'm going to have two things on this. One, I love movies. I love shows. If this, like, whatever, give it to me. Two, fuck Disney. Chill out. Because, like, what is, like, NBC's going to have to move all their shit off of Hulu eventually.
Right.
And probably make their own streaming thing. Congratulations, corporate America. You're recreating cable. Like, the streaming thing killed cable. Cable's dead. But now we have to buy the Disney streaming one. We have to buy the Hulu one. We have to buy the Netflix. We have to buy the Amazon. We have to buy the CBS.
Actually,
we're just you reinvented cable.
I watched it. Yeah, except now you can watch things whenever you feel like
That's
it.
That's the only difference. Yeah. Like, you've combined cable and DVR into one thing.
And that you have rated R shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, cable, you had HBO before. All it is like, you're going to have to buy, like, eight different streaming services.
So I read an interesting thing where someone was like, found a way to bulk buy like nine streaming services and found a way for like the big, get all the big ones and said, I'm paying $55 a month.
Yeah.
For nine streaming services, which I get significantly more and better entertainment than I ever did from cable. And I was like, fair point.
That's true. But like, you know, I'm still annoyed. Because I'm annoyed because like, we were like, I'm done with cable. It's too expensive to do all this. I like that I have Netflix and Hulu and Amazon. I was like, that's enough for me.
Right.
Well, but now
and Shudder.
Yeah, and Shudder. Shudder's a cheap one and totally worth it.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. I see the year in 5 years where I'm paying for the NBC streaming, I'm paying for the CBS streaming.
It's going to end up being, like, once again, like, you get deals, like, by buying more than one at once.
Exactly. They're going to come out on cable and be like, if you buy all these in a bundle, then it'll be cheaper. It's like, oh, so it's like cable.
But, you know, the main thing that irritated me about cable was that I can't watch whenever I feel like. And even if you had TiVo, you had limited space to do that in.
Yeah.
And nothing was rated R except HBO and Showtime or Cinemax. But it was like, okay, so I kind of like the whole, like, yes, I can scope around whenever I feel like. There's a giant backlog of movies, which you didn't have from cable well.
It's going to be a bigger and better cable than there was, but it's still...
And you're paying competitive prices to what cable were.
That's true.
Yeah. If you had that full load of all the extra, like, HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, all that other stuff, it would have cost you more than $55 a month.
That's true. That's very true. I like the streaming. I like the convenience of it, but I am, like, a little pissed at this.
Fair.
Yeah.
So, Kevin Feige, my hero, says, the real Mandarin will indeed show up in the future of MCU. This was hinted at a little short feature that they put out on one of the Blu-rays.
I think it was one of the Thor movies.
Yeah.
They had it on there.
Why did they stop doing those? Those were so cool.
I liked them, yeah.
Yeah. But he said, yes, the real Mandarin is on the way. Obviously, a lot of people were incorrectly pissed about the thing with...
Yeah, I would never understand that.
Iron Man 3.
What a great rug pull that was.
It was so fun of what they did with that. And I was like, why did that upset you? None of you motherfuckers gave a shit about Mandarin before
for
this.
For sure.
Crisis on Infinite Earths on the CW will be five parts across all the shows, including Batwoman. This is the first time in a while they've said every single show on the CW will do the big crossover thing. So that's kind of cool. Robert Pattinson is the front runner for the Batman, which obviously you've probably heard
I think
about
that's
now.
Pretty locked in. I mean, I know it's not official, but it seems like...
It's Matt Reeves who directed the last two Planet of the Apes movies, which I think did a great job with it. Nicholas Holt is the other person they say is coming up, but Nicholas Holt seems like he's too short for it. Pattinson's like 6'2".
Pattinson, I think he's a fucking good choice. I
love Pattinson.
Yeah. Again, speaking of, we were talking about off mic about like fandom, like making petitions. I've already seen a petition to not cast him made by, you know, crybabies. But yeah, I mean, and if you're like, we've talked about it a bunch, people have talked about it by now. If you're like, oh, the Twilight dude, like check the IMDb out, check some of the movies since then, get acquainted. He's a very good actor. He can go dark. He can be charming.
Watch
he's
Good
a,
Time.
He's all over the place. He's a great actor. Good Time. High Life.
Yeah.
Damsel. Like, you'll see a range that you didn't know he had, and you'll be pumped.
You'll be like, this guy's pretty good.
Yeah.
And believe me, you don't hate the Twilight films anywhere near as much as Robert Pattinson does.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and like Christian Bale was Batman, like it's like another very actorly actor playing Batman. I think it'll be good.
Do you remember Heath Ledger and how much you all freaked the fuck out when he was playing the Joker? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But apparently they've said as well, and I'm a little more nervous about this, said that this will have at least two villains, the Penguin and Catwoman, as two of the big villains, but they've also suggested there could be three or four other villains as well. But Reeves kept saying this is the detective-oriented one, that he's finally making the detective Batman, which is the movie I've been asking for.
Forever,
a while. I don't want a big gadget Batman. I want a Batman tracks a serial killer, like, on the ground level.
Which could make sense for multiple villains, because if he's, you know, different suspects, different investigations lead different alleyways. It could be a way they could do that. And then the Catwoman won't be a true villain.
Maybe she's an ally.
That'll be like a foil for Batman. You know, I think I'm giving trust to Reeves. I think he's not infallible, but he is very good and solid. Like, he can make a really good Batman, I think.
Paramount has been desperately trying to make their franchises work. I mean, obviously, Transformers, like, they had trouble with for a while there. Mission Impossible has been very successful with them. Terminator has been not successful for them as a franchise for some time now. Star Trek, they've had always had problems with CBS. They ended up handing it off to CBS back for television, their subsidiary. Mm-hmm. But they always want new intellectual property. And now they've struck a deal for Atlas Comics. Now, you don't know the history of comics. Atlas Comics was the precursor to Marvel Comics, but apparently stands alone as a division.
This is stupid. Paramount's like, we did it. We bought the comic rights to something that no one knows. Like, hardcore comic people do?
No, I mean, and not just hardcore. I mean, like, old hardcore comic people.
Like, who? Like, what the fuck are you thinking? Like it's a silly.
I mean, there's some ideas here that sound kind of fun, though. I'll say. I mean, like they're starting to get underway sometime in the second quarter of 2020. The first film will be released in 2021. The plan is to produce and release at least one superhero project each year after that. It's Akiva Goldsman, who's worked on a lot of shit, a very famous writer, producer, both good and bad. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's some interesting stuff. The Scorpion is an adventure-type science character who's immortal. The Grim Ghost is a criminal who died, who's forced to work for Satan and bring evil souls to hell. The Demon Hunter and magical cult member who can become invisible. I mean, there's a lot of Atlas characters that have been forgotten about. But to some degree, this could be a fun thing.
It's funny, but, like, none of these things sound, like, remotely, like you didn't have to. Like, these are just... You get someone to come up with original ideas. Like, you're not going to bank on the IP of this, you know?
True.
And I think, like, the what's weird is the dirty secret about comic book movies is, honestly, comic book movies aren't that popular. Marvel movies are that popular. Like, the DC underperform. The X-Men movies are hit or miss, and they don't really perform.
Some of the television stuff has done quite well.
The television does go well, and then the Marvel movies do well.
Right.
But, like, they're following, like, a model that is, like,
everybody thinks that this
they will. We can just do it, yeah. But there's like so much care put into like the movies that they make, and they think, oh, if we make comic book movies, we'll make money.
Everybody looking for the next big franchise.
It's just a bad. It's stupid. Like, but like, you know, go off. Like, maybe these movies can be cool. They don't have to be as slavish to the mythology of them.
No, not at all. Because no one cares.
So like, if you find a cool looking character with a cool kind of story,
dude, I know some like 60-year-old dudes who are going to be super psyched.
And then very disappointed when the movie comes out because there's no way they're faithful.
But as far as comic book properties that are not part of the, like, big, like, giant group of, like, things that tie in together, like Marvel and DC and what have you, comic book writer Mark Millar has had a lot of hits. He's also worked for both Marvel and DC, but he made a deal with his separate Millar World company and Netflix in 2017 to develop new properties based on his stuff for film or TV shows. They announced just last year a bunch of adaptations were coming soon, and another adaptation's coming on with James Wan, who, of course, a huge director, producer, who will direct the pilot episode of The Magic Order, or original original Millar comic that he wrote and in the early parts of their deal, Netflix produced as a comic producing deal as part of the deal. Which is really crazy. Second time that Juan has actually stepped into the world of television at all. It's described as 5 families of magicians were sworn to protect our world and must battle an enemy who's picking them off one by one. By day, they live among us as our neighbors, friends, and co-workers, but by night, they are the sorcerers, magicians, and wizards that protect us from the forces of darkness, unless the darkness gets them first. That sounds kind of amazing.
Yeah, it sounds like a solid concept. Juan is a good director.
Millar's been, like,
he's half and half. He's hit or miss for me.
He's written some incredible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he's written stuff that I'm like, I love this. It's one of my favorite things. And he's written stuff that I'm like, this is like masturbatory.
Sometimes it can be like a little too like juvenile, look at my big gun type shit.
Yes.
And then, we'll see. In the hands of Juan, this could be like a really good thing. I'm pumped for this idea.
Going comic book bad news, man, a really good comic book adaptation, The Tick on Amazon Prime, got canceled after 2 seasons.
And I'm part of the problem here. I've only watched the pilot, which I really loved.
Oh, it's so good.
And then I didn't follow up and watch the show. And I'm bummed because, like, it's just, there's a lot of TV out there. There's a lot of things. I saw the pilot, like, when it came out, like, 3 years ago, maybe. It felt like forever ago. And I was like, man, this is funny. This is good.
And it was. It was really good.
And it's well-reviewed, too. First and second season.
Series creator Ben Edlund broke the news on Twitter, says that Amazon has chosen not to proceed with it, but said, I love the show, and we are now officially seeking a new home for the series.
I hope they get it, and I promise to get off my ass and watch.
You better.
Yeah.
I blame you.
Yeah, it's my fault, guys. Sorry. I'll tweet at them.
The new Star Trek show has officially gotten a title, Star Trek Picard. Come on, guys. You got to do better than that.
Fucking classic.
Okay. I mean, I'm very excited because, A, it's the first Star Trek thing that goes into the future of Star Trek since, oh my God, what was the last one?
And I'm an intermittent Star Trek fan, so.
God, what was the last Star? It was a way back. It was in the original movies, I think. Oh, no. Technically, it would have been the first J.J. Abrams film, because that started post everything we've seen in Star Trek, but then went back in time, because they time traveled.
Yes.
Yeah. But the very beginning of it took place
before, right?
Yeah. No, the very beginning of it took place after everything we've seen.
Okay.
With old Spock following
the
Romulan guy back through time. Right. But that was the last thing we've seen that was post-Voyager.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to remember. I've seen parts of all the shows. I'm not a hardcore dude, so the timelines get very murky for me.
I'm a huge Star Trek fan.
Yeah, okay.
I say in a raspy, I'm a huge Star Trek fan. Get emotional. And I'm very excited to see it go on. But wow, come on. Seriously, guys, Star Trek Picard. I mean, I get it. He's the star of it.
Yeah.
And it's about him, but still.
People fucking love him in this role. Like, people who are like, take him over Shatner, like, my favorite. You know, like, people love it. So, like, it makes sense if you're making him, like, if this is a show, this is put on the forefront. Like, this is fucking Picard's show, man. Like, yeah, it's not bad.
Speaking earlier of James Wan, he is, in fact, producing that Mortal Kombat movie reboot, which I guess people care about. It's shooting in South Australia with post-production getting underway later this month. It's not a maybe, it's happening. Yeah. It might end up in just a Redbox release, who knows, but it seems unlikely with James Wan doing it. This seems like a huge production with doing this. I mean, like, I'm not a big fighting game guy. I have nothing, but that's only because of my lack of ability. I like games that I can do, like, as a guy who's not great at reflexes. But they're cool games, no question.
I've set up
a huge mythology.
I grew up with the Mortal Kombat movies, or games. I love the first Mortal Kombat movie as, like, pure trash. It is the all-time videotape trash action movie. It is so shitty and fun.
I like the first one. It has one of the greatest movie themes ever.
Yeah.
And also, I will always call out the ending as being awesome.
Yeah. I kind of remember
that. The other thing where they all go, like, the big demon thing appears, they go, fight all the guys who were like heroes and like antagonists together. Yeah. Were like, oh, we're gonna fight this whatever this demon thing is.
It's a fucking wild movie.
It was awesome.
And this movie could be good if the action's directed well, because it's like martial arts. If you make it a mystic martial art movie,
badass to direct,
it'd be fucking good. Yeah. Holler at like some of those, like the raid guys. Let's get them involved, man.
Why does not anyone drive a dump truck of money up to Gareth
Edwards'
house and go like, we want you to take over a franchise? Like, the fact that Marvel didn't say he's directing Shang-Chi Master of Kung Fu, I was like, you fucked up.
Yeah.
You fucked up.
Mean, even offer him a load of money just to shoot second unit, even. Like, just he's give me good big action.
Well, I can see why he would say no.
I know, but
fuck
like,
you, I'm not doing second just unit.
Give me something.
That guy's a action movie genius.
Yeah, he's incredible.
And I'm sorry, like, they fucked up. But, yeah, I don't know. Joel Edgerton apparently may be Kano in the film. Kano? I think it's Kano. I don't know. But we shall see. I'm skeptical. Jermaine Clement has joined the Avatar sequels, as have many other people. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares anymore. They keep pushing it back, but eventually we're going to see them. And they'll be huge and expensive as fuck.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll be good.
I guarantee you the first Avatar movie that comes out is going to be a ginormous hit.
Yeah.
Ones after that, I can't tell you.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds and Taika Waititi are in a comedy together called Free Guy. This sounds kind of awesome, quite frankly. Ryan Reynolds is a bank teller who's very lonely, which sounds right off the bat. I go, yeah, right. he's Ryan Reynolds. Who discovers he's actually a background character, like a sub-character in an open-world video game, like a sandbox game. Okay.
And if you've seen this year's movie Serenity, this is the sequel.
Sean Levy is directing this film, who's done some things I really hated, like Night at the Museum, and also produced Stranger Things. So take that for what it's worth.
He did Game Night?
Date night. Different.
Oh, I like
But Jodie Comer, who plays the female assassin killing Eve, is one of the main characters in here. Little Ray Howery, like I said, Taika Waititi. This sounds like it could be kind of an amazing little video game adjacent film.
It might be good. Ryan Reynolds is starting, like, he made The Hitman's Bodyguard watchable, which is not a great movie, but he's like funny in it.
And I love The Hitman's Bodyguard.
Going off him and Sam Jackson, their chemistry's good. The movie's kind of whatever, but they're great together.
I love that movie.
So if
I've watched that movie like four times.
Man, that's kind of mind blowing. But if Reynolds and Taika Waititi have any type of chemistry and they're like in it a bunch, they're both really funny.
Oh yeah.
Quick witted dudes, like this could be good.
I want to see the two of those in a buddy cop comedy.
Yeah, maybe. Period. Who knows? Maybe this is that. Like, we'll see where it
could be. You don't know. It's a video game. Yeah, anything could happen.
What kind of game is it? Yeah, we'll see.
So, a rare comic book story. Marvel's ending all of their X-Men comics. They're just ending them all because Jonathan Hickman, who is one of their huge stars, wants to start a new X-Universe book. It's very unclear exactly what the details are on this, but we do know that it's launching in the wake of his two new upcoming 6-issue miniseries, House of X and Powers of X, which will deal with the effects of we still don't know an occurrence about mutants from different perspectives. House of X is set in the present and will follow Earth's mutants as they get swept up into the event. Powers of the X will look into the X-Men's pasts. It's very, they're obviously being very like, we're not going to say till you get to see it, but apparently they are flat out rebooting the entire X-Men universe, and I can't help but feel like this is because they have been talking to the movie people about what's happening and going like, we need to reset this.
Let's start modeling some characters to
make it match what we want.
We have a new Wolverine now. We have like there's like a fresh version. So when the movies, like when Marvel starts putting them in,
The X-Men have always been a problem for Marvel in that they've just been, they're a comic book universe in and of itself. There's hundreds and hundreds of characters and they regularly kill them off by the dozens. And yet there's constantly dozens.
Also you should take this news with a grain of salt because this is comics. Who knows? Like, that might happen. And then in, like, 3 years, there might be a run in this original.
But we have repeatedly seen the comics predict elements of what happens with the movies.
Oh, for sure.
So, yeah. Like, I would say this is something to pay attention to if you're curious to see what's going to happen with the films. Mm-hmm. There's a Deathstroke animated series coming out, which I know a lot of DC fans are going to be very excited about. I mean, I like Deathstroke, but I've never been as big a fan. I mean, I like Deadpool better. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, do you know which one came first?
I don't.
Because
not offhand.
Deadpool's name is, his real name is Wade Wilson, right?
Yeah.
And Deathstroke is Slade Wilson?
Yeah, there's obviously, but I would suspect if Deathstroke came out first, because Slade, like, Wade, I'm sorry, Deadpool feels like a parody of
Yeah, that, yeah, right? Maybe, yeah, I'm assuming so. That's really funny to me.
But this is coming on the CW Seed, which is all their animated stuff, and they also have a thing about a character called the DC, a show called The Pledge, which is from the Saw horror franchise, which is a comedy horror series set in a haunted sorority house. So those are coming out in DC Seeds soon. Okay.
I got nothing. I don't know.
They've officially said Rick and Morty season 4 is finally coming out in November.
Yeah.
So you guys have been waiting. They put out an announcement. It's coming out in November.
Yeah. And I'm reading this. I was reading up on it and this is like, because through the first two seasons, and then maybe through the third, there was never a guarantee of a renewal.
Yeah.
And, like, they finally got, I think, ordered 70 episodes worth. So, finally, it is like, oh, we're comfortable. We can finally sit and make the show and not have to worry about if we're going to, like, get paid again.
Right.
Which is, like, good news.
So, now, like, hopefully, they're, like, going to put them out more often instead of big breaks. Because one of the reasons there have been such big breaks because they had no idea if they were going to get renewed. Yeah.
So, you don't work on it for free. You don't sit there and think about, like, and then, like, oh, we're renewed. It's like, all right, let's start making the show. No, but now, like, 70 yeah. more coming.
Now I know why Dan Harmon has been so annoyed lately on Harmontown, because he's got to work.
Exactly. I think he's kind of annoyed all the time. He is. It's the method to his madness.
Yeah, a base existence, mm-hmm. yeah. Nickelodeon's Invader Zim and Rocko's Modern Life films are coming to Netflix, mm-hmm. which is cool. I know I was never as big as Rocko's Modern Life. I watched it when, like, it's good, but
Rocko's. I don't know Invader Zim.
I loved Invader Zim.
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, it was crazy, weird shit, but I'm excited to see more of it. Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers movie is coming out that's going to be directed by Akiva Schaffer from The Lonely Island, who did, like, what was it? Pop Star.
One of the best
comedies that nobody saw.
God damn it, it's so good. It's
so fun.
Side note, if you haven't seen Pop Star,
never stop
Popstar. Go rent Popstar.
It's good.
It is so funny, and I can't believe it's not a huge hit. Like, and it's kind of a running thing with them. Like, Hot Rod was, like, not a big hit, but then, like, has a kind of
a cult. I still have not seen Hot Rod, but I know people are phenomenal.
It's so funny. It came out, no one really cares about it, and then everyone, like, loves it on the low. Same thing with Popstar, I feel like. I feel like it has a bit of a cult thing going, but we need more people involved. And I love him as a choice for this movie. Like, he makes some pretty raunchy, wild comedies.
Yeah.
This is not going to be that, but it's an inspired choice. If we're going to have to regurgitate these, like, Disney Channel shit that, like, you know, at least get interesting people to do it, maybe they can elevate it to something, like, watchable.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, so, yeah, go nuts. I'm in for it.
So, weirdly, ABC, and this is bizarre, is relaunching a one-night-only live experience of All in the Family and the Jeffersons in front of a studio audience, yes. Hosted by Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah. Speaking of taking, like, if you're going to remake and take stuff from the past and do something, I'm into this idea. It's like a weird thing to do.
It's so weird. Yeah. It might actually work.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, so Archie and Edith Bunker are played by Woody Harrelson and Marissa Tomei. So that's crazy. Yeah. Jamie Foxx is George Jefferson.
Yeah.
Wanda Sykes is Louise Jefferson. Ellie Kemper is Gloria Stivic. Will Ferrell is Tom Willis. Justina Machado is Florence Johnson. Oh God, we have Ike Barinholtz is Meathead. Sean Hayes is Mr. Lorenzo. Amber Stevens West is Jenny Willis Jefferson. One night only show here. This is crazy. Oh, Anthony Anderson is Uncle Henry. Stephen Tobolowsky is Mr. Bentley. This is going to be on the 22nd, which is literally two days from now.
Yeah.
This is weird. I don't even know what to say about it.
Well, I know that they've been, I don't know if it's even this network, but I think it's Fox who does, like, the live musicals.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a thing. And this is the live two classic episodes of a sitcom.
Yeah, like, but they're not recreating something. They're doing new episodes.
Oh, is it really? Yeah. See, like, but that's, like, That's a weird thing. And, like, that's what I'm saying. If you're going to take old property and, like, try to mine it for money, at least this is... It's, like, a cool idea. It's, a, like, ambitious thing. It's, like, doing this reimagining with these new characters. It's like, new actors doing these roles. It's interesting, at least, as, like, even from, like, the actor's perspective to pull this off. Or, like, yeah, it's cool. I legit might tune in and watch this.
I agree.
Yeah.
WarnerMedia announced Wednesday that their Snowpiercer show, which, believe it or not, still exists, based on the 2013 film of the same name, will now air on TBS instead of TNT, and they've gone ahead and renewed it for a second season, well ahead of its 2020 debut, which I think might be a record for, like, ahead of time saying, we like this so much, we're going to go ahead and greenlight it for the next one.
And give it a second season before it's even premiered.
I mean, this one has had a lot of problems along the way, too. Like, the showrunner series creator, Josh Friedman, left the show. Graham Mason took over as showrunner. Then Scott Derrickson was the pilot's original director, and he refused to return for pilot reshoots because he had problems with the new vision for the show from the new showrunner. James Hawes came on board to direct the reshoots last July. I mean, this is a setup that I'm like, this thing feels like a failure, but the network fact that is confident.
Renewed for a second season, much to me, it means like, they've seen it and they really dig it.
Yeah.
Like, which could go either way, but like, renewed for a second season already, it gets me really curious.
Jacob's Ladder remake is still coming out, believe it or not, but now they're calling it a reimagining, directed by David M. Rosenthal, completely different story, saying that the twist ending will not be the same at all. Vertical Entertainment is putting this thing out. Two release dates. Dish Network will first premiere the movie in an exclusive July window, followed by a theatrical release in August. It is described in the remake very differently. Jacob Singer is getting his life back together after his brother is killed in Afghanistan. Jacob has a beautiful wife, a newborn child, and a successful career as a surgeon in a VA hospital. When a stranger approaches Jacob and reveals that his brother is actually alive and living in an underground shelter with other homeless vets, Jacob's life starts to unravel. He begins hallucinating, begins he's being followed by violent attackers, and becomes paranoid about the truth of what really happened to his brother. When he discovers that his brother is alive and addicted to an experimental drug, he uncovers a secret he never could have been prepared for. So, definitely a remix of the idea.
The remix, all the stuff is there, this kind of jumbled.
But now it's like his brother is the character who's the person.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I read that synopsis and it's like, okay. The delays don't give me much, but like, the fact that it's not a straight remake, like maybe something can be interesting, can be done with it. I don't know. The delays and the idea of remaking this movie, like, is another thing. It's like when you're like, depending on IP for something, like, is Jacob Ladder, like, that big? When I, like, you know, people are going to be like, oh,
fuck
shit.
Fuck you, it is.
Yeah. I mean, no, I love
it's one of the greatest horror movies ever made.
It's so scary. It is so good.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's a niche audience. It's not like the masses would be like, oh, shit, Jacob's Ladder remake. Like, no one knows about it. It's a weird
thing.
Which
is a shame. It's, yeah. I think it genuinely is one of the greatest horror movies.
It's great. Ever. It's one of the best Tim Robbins performances, too. Like, he's an actor, like, I really like, but sometimes I don't.
And that dude, whose name I always forget, whose eyes like shake back and forth. You know what I'm talking about? The character actor guy.
A bald dude?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know his name
either. He does that thing where his eyes shake, and I'm like, he's in a thousand.
He played the son of Sam and Summer of Sam, Spike Lee.
That guy's always intense, and he's in that, and he has one of the best scenes in the whole film. Yeah.
He's such a good actor, but like, he has such a particular like look that he can't just like play like.
He's not going to play romantic.
He's not going to play like the funny neighbor on the sitcom. he is a type, yeah.
Hulu is getting into both the Stephen King game and the Game of Thrones game by, I feel like I should have had a better way to say that, by adapting Stephen King's Eyes of the Dragon, which is his sort of YA book that he wrote.
I'm not, like, I've read a fair amount of Stephen King books. I'm not familiar with this at all.
I have read this, and I remember really enjoying this. This is part of a, it was his attempt to continue on that story that I feel like King kind of dropped at some point, but the idea of the Randall Flagg storyline, mm-hmm. you know, the talisman is part of and the stand is part of it. This is another parallel universe that Randall Flagg, this universe crossing bad guy, has crossed into as the bad guy into.
I wonder if they're going to even address him.
But is this he a big one? I would assume so, right. But this is like dragons and magicians and shit. And like, it doesn't surprise me that this is happening.
Stephen King's super hot right now. Game of Thrones is obviously coming to an end. Somebody to fill that void. It makes perfect sense.
Saw is getting rebooted, which I think is the best possible thing they could do at this point, with Chris Rock being one of the people behind it. He's teaming up with Lionsgate because apparently he said, I'm a huge fan of the series, which is actually the one thing that makes me nervous, because who in the fuck in their right mind who's creative is a big fan of the series? It's terrible.
That's the thing is, my thought is maybe Chris Rock, like, I've seen the first one, maybe in one of the sequels, and like, just likes the concept.
He says he's been a fan of the first film since 2004, and that's all he said.
Okay, so maybe that's it. But like, if he has a good concept for it and he came to them, like, I'm interested. Like, who knows? Like, who fucking knows? It's a weird story.
It's such a weird idea from the get-go that there's a story that there's a movie that could be made out of Saw that would be good, but we've never seen it.
Yeah. The closest is the first Saw movie.
Yeah.
And after that, diminishing returns.
Even then. There's more live-action Evil Dead on the way, according to Bruce Campbell. He says, for sure, this series is not done, but I'm not going to be in it.
Yeah.
Other than he insinuated that if there are games, yes, he'll come back to voice.
And I think it makes sense. He's been doing this character or variation on this character forever. He's probably just like,
I'm a little too old for this.
I'm just chilling, man. I'm good.
Exactly. There's a new Purge film been announced, set for July 2020, which they call the fifth and possibly final film. The original creator, James DeMonaco, has said that, this is kind of my vision for the end, but even he's like, I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to officially say it.
We'll see if there's like a big beach house I want to buy. Maybe I can come with a vision for another.
Did you watch the TV show?
I did not. Didn't know.
It was hot.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, what was it released on even?
It was, I don't remember.
Man, I totally did not.
But it was just this past year, and it was so good.
Damn.
Yeah.
Shit, like I said, there's a lot of stuff out there.
Earlier, it's kind of like not entirely clear where it's taking place.
In between the first Purge.
In between, it felt like it was in between the first and the second Purge, is what it felt like. But like, it was really good. Yeah.
It's one of the most interesting, like the first one's like a B-movie home invasion. The ideas got bigger as it went along. The world got bigger and like became politically charged.
It was USA Network.
And as the series went on, it got politically charged and people got invested in critically, it got better as the series went along, which is interesting. Like, what a weird franchise. I'm down for a fifth one.
Although I will say the last Purge movie is the worst of the whole series.
Wait, the first Purge? You didn't like that one?
No.
I think I like that more
than the guy who plays the lead actor is amazing.
Yeah.
He's like a find.
Yeah.
But everything else about it is bad.
I think I like that one more than the one before that.
Dude, 2 and 3 are the best.
I think I like 4 more than 3, but 2 more than 4. I don't know. It's kind of a jumbled bag. The first one has the star power, but not the scope.
Talk about shows that you're probably not watching. Sci-Fi has a Van Helsing show, only it's set in the distant, distant future. And now they've announced that going into their fourth season, yes, it's been going on that long.
What?
That Trisha Helfer is coming on to play Dracula.
I thought this was a new show.
No. It's been going on for years.
Sounds like a skit, like thing. It's like Dracula, but it's like in space and it's like the future.
Yeah.
And it sounds like a
Welcome
bad
to Sci-Fi Channel.
Jesus Christ.
I got 3/4 of the way through the first season before I was like, I got better stuff to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't terrible. I was like, I got me that far. I was like, okay, there's some interesting stuff building here. Mm-hmm. And if I had less great television, I probably would have kept with it. You know?
Yeah. Shout out to the viewers of the show. If it's your jam,
yeah,
I got love for you.
We're finally introducing Dracula, and it's the hot chick from Battlestar Galactica. And I was like, kind of awesome.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good
why
idea.
Why not? Why not switch it?
Yeah.
Draculina? I don't know.
Yeah.
Vampirella?
In the future,
John Carpenter made an announcement recently saying, you know what? I might not be totally done with horror films or with films. I might make either a little horror film or a very well-produced big adventure film.
Yeah, that's interesting. I will, like, I think, because the John Carpenter's last couple of movies before he stopped, not great.
No.
I think, but he even said it in this thing, like, that he got burned out.
Yes.
And he needed a break, which shows in those movies. I would love it if, like, after these years of rest, that he had, like, a good script and something he wanted to make.
Well, he said his biggest problem was that, it came down to the studios being like, we don't have any interest in spending money on this stuff. We're gonna fucking fight you every inch of the way. And he was just tired of that.
For sure. He already cut his teeth in the industry. He doesn't have to, like...
What do I have to prove anymore? Yeah, I'm John Carpenter. Sure. Give me the money and I'll make a good movie. Sure. If you don't give me the money, I'll make a crappy movie.
I think, what was his... Mouth of Madness might be his last, like,
his last truly
good movie.
Oh my god, I can't believe I just rewatched fucking Ghost of Mars the other day.
That blows my mind.
Yeah, well, they sent it to me on Blu-ray, so what
I love the music that he's been doing as a side note with his son. He's been touring, like, they've released some albums, and that shit is fucking good, and I love it. Give me more of that, but I would really like a new movie. I want to see one. Like, I'm dying for it.
So if you guys are the type of people who like to watch CW shows on Netflix, wait, like, I can wait till the season's over. That deal's over as of, like, right now. Like, that, apparently it sounds like the stuff that's already there will be there for a little bit longer, but future Ghost shows going forward, that will not be the deal. I get that's going to be part of a future deal in God knows what other future streaming network.
Get ready to buy another streaming service.
R.I.P. Tim Conway. What a legend that guy was.
Dude, yeah, you know what? I was...
The Apple Dumpling Gang, my favorite Tim Conway thing of all time.
What is that one from?
You never saw the Apple Dumpling Gang?
I don't know that one.
It was him and Don Knotts in, like, the Old West, like, comedy western.
You know, it's like, I realized
Private Eyes, with also both of them as Private Eyes.
I
realized
that was very unfamiliar. Like, I was like, because I know him, but, like, the thing that most, I remember him in 30 Rock. Did you ever see 30 Rock?
Yes, of course.
He had a thing where he came by and he was talking about old TV days, but he kept saying a bunch of, like, really sexist and racist things.
Right, right.
And it was like the joke of it was like the old TV days were just ran by horrible men.
Right.
It's like really funny. He was so good at it. So yeah, man, I'm going to go back and check out your work. Shout out. Sorry, I hadn't seen more of it.
He was a legend. I knew him from the Carol Burnett show, amongst many other things. I was actually kind of surprised to see he was still alive, to be fair. I was like, wait, he's not dead? He's 85 years old. Everybody other than Carol Burnett he worked with seems to be dead. So, also, R.I.P. Doris Day, another Hollywood legend. 97 years old.
I thought she was dead, too. Yeah.
Holy shit. Like, so many classic things, including Alfred Hitchcock's The Man Who Knew Too Much. Mm-hmm. But she was probably better known for her TV comedy type stuff. She definitely a real legend in Hollywood, and it was, like, very sad. But she... Man, you
it's
won.
A full life and a huge.
You got
career.
The prize.
Yeah, huge.
97. You know, it's not the George Burns prize, but you're almost there.
But George Burns looked like he was 107 ever since he was like 50.
True. I think he made it to like 100 and a half.
So crazy. Guy.
But the saddest death and the most tragic has got to be here. Grumpy Cat at the age of 7.
Good riddance.
Has left this world. Did you see that Great Onion thing? The Onion put articles. Internet ecstatic that Grumpy Cat, perpetual downer, finally dead.
Yeah, I can't believe... Actually, I can't believe the reaction to this, like, meme dying or this cat meme thing. I don't know. I've never... When this thing was, like, big, I was, like, even more of a curmudgeon than I am now. I'm kind of more susceptible to, like, being engaging with... cute animal shit that happens now, but when it first started, I was like, who gives a fuck about this?
I did. I gave a fuck.
You're a cat guy.
I met Grumpy Cat. It was amazing.
Were you waiting
changed
in that
my
huge,
life.
Huge line at South by Southwest?
No, because I was there at press. So
I remember, like, seeing
that. I met
that.
Grumpy Cat. I met one of the other weird, fucked up face cats. I can't remember which
I
one.
Just remember
that movie that they had
line.
With fucking Aubrey Plaza, I think, was genuinely kind of funny.
Was that real?
Yeah, made a Grumpy Cat movie with, like, Aubrey Plaza voiced Grumpy Cat.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I kind of liked it.
I might have to watch that just for the novelty factor. Like, yeah, Grumpy Cat, if you care about Grumpy Cat, God bless. For the rest of you, like, who gives a shit? We're all here, yeah.
All right, so going into our final stories, which are just for goofiness, there's a South Park escape room opening in Chicago that just opened, expanding to more cities soon. I love escape rooms. I wish I could do more of them.
I've never done one.
Fucking expensive. Yeah. Dude, you would be great at escape
rooms. I'm curious about
it. You have an analytical mind, and I think that you'd be great at them, but we should totally go do an escape room.
Yeah, let's do a deliberation to do an escape room.
I want to go to L.A. because that's where all the great ones are. I mean, like, man, there's a Jurassic Park escape room.
Shit.
Oh my god, I want to do that.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's the South Park one. May 15th is when it opened at Escape the Room Chicago, expanding to more major cities around the United States. Cartman's Escape Room. That's kind of cool.
I wonder how problematic that escape room will be.
Yeah, right?
Like, South Park jokes in the context of South Park work. If in the escape room that shit's happening, I wonder if it's going to work.
Interestingly, Joe Russo, who's one of the directors of the Avengers films, put together an escape room specifically for the Avengers.
Oh, yes.
For them to escape from, which is kind of fun. In this particular case, it was Benedict Cumberbatch, Sebastian Stan, Letitia White, and Anthony Mackie who were put tasked in doing this. And there's a video online you can watch of them having fun. Like, obviously, this whole cast loves the shit out of each other and loves hanging out with each other. They've created a great environment on these movies for them to work together. But why can't I do that escape room? What's going on? I want to do that.
The thing is, I mean, I know it's edited, but I think I would slaughter that escape room. I had that shit down.
Oh, it'd be like, I know too much about this.
Give it to me. It's easy.
The only time I've ever reached, I've done a decent amount of escape rooms. The only time I ever reached one where I was like, well, I'm fucked, is where you had to do Morse code.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, but it was like, here's the exact code you have to do. And I'm like, I've never understood the difference
between
like a long and a short press on the thing. I was like, what is exactly that? What? How do I do that? I'm not clear. And I was like, fucking finally, another dude to go like, oh, Jesus Christ, give it to me. I'll do it. I'm good at everything else. I'm the guy who's good at finding like, hey, there's some shit hidden under here.
Yeah.
I'm the guy turning over furniture and they're like, no, wait, stop. Okay.
This guy's wrecking our escape room in here.
Lastly, Peter Jackson has said, I'm not going to make a superhero movie, so stop asking. And look, he's like, I don't have any problem with it being a thing. I just don't have a connection with it. No. I like fantasy stuff. I don't like superhero stuff. Mm. It's like, no problem with it. I'm not going to do it. Stop asking.
Yeah.
But, which I'm like, fine. I appreciate you being honest.
Yeah, I like that reaction. Like,
but also, fuck you. sorry. Immediate gut reaction.
I mean, I'm sure there's, I mean, comic books are expansive. I'm sure there's a comic book that
someday he'll find like a horror book or something.
He'll be like, I kind of want to do that. But yeah, I mean, it's just the medium. Like, I get what he's saying. Like, the comic book.
He doesn't want to do a Marvel DC guy.
Superhero aesthetic is not his.
Somebody went to him and said Swamp Thing. I bet you he'd be like,
yeah, I could see him rocking that stuff. Yeah. But I guess he was offered Aquaman a couple times and like.
Oh, yeah, twice.
Yeah.
He said no. And they called him back and said, so were you interested? Like, I said no. Yeah. Fuck off.
I can't really. I get why they would ask him for that specific thing, but like. It still doesn't completely mesh one-to-one.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for the Breakfast Pub. Big thanks to Alan, man. This is our biggest, longest Breakfast Pub in a while, but that's because the stories were just, like, all over the place. There was too much stuff that I couldn't ignore talking about this week. So,
there was a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot. I mean, poor Alan. I'm like, will you do it? It's like a show. It should be about an hour.
Shout out to my CBS heads. You got a lot of pilots coming your way.
You got a lot of pilots on your way. But we'll be back in another week. If you liked Alan on this one, let him know. Send him a message. Say, Alan, I liked you on that show. And maybe I can convince him to come back.
Maybe I'll be back.
Maybe. He's like, as long as it's not another TV pilot show. Fuck that.
I love those songs.